Underwriting support for Hometown Sunday Morning from the Sharon Valley Tavern since the 1930s, serving the community with a rich history and roots dating back to the 1800s. Today, the tavern continues to serve the residents of the tri-state region with a relaxing atmosphere 7 days a week, food, friends, and fun the old-fashioned way, 860-364-9355. You'll find them on Facebook, Sharon Valley Tavern. Associated Lightning Rod, Route 22 in Millerton, installing lightning protection for homes and businesses for well over 50 years, 518-789-4603. ALRCI.com on the web. Sagala Turnkey Housing, Route 7 in Canaan, an authorized independent builder for Westchester Modular Homes, 860-824-0019, Sagala's.com. Roaring Oaks Florist in Lakeville, Connecticut, unique designs with personal attention, roaringoaksflorist.com. Dave's TV, Route 44 in Millerton, New York, everything for home entertainment, video, audio, satellite TV, 518-789-3881, davestv.net. McEnroe Organic Farm Market, Route 22 in Millerton, open year-round 7 days a week, 518-789-4191, McEnroeOrganicFarm.com. Northeast Muffler, Route 22 in Millerton, New York, 518-789-3669. On Facebook, Northeast Muffler. Upcountry Services in Sharon, serving the northwest corner and neighboring Dutchess County for over 30 years, 800-791-2916, upcountryservices.com.
Listeners, it's September 30th. It's just 2 minutes after the 9 o'clock hour, and you're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robinhood Radio and RobinhoodRadio.com. I've got a few PSAs here, starting with the American Legion Post 178. The Sons of American Legion Post 178 on Route 44 in Millerton are having their clam bake today from 11 to 5. Their clams are either raw or steamed. They have shaved steak sandwiches, sausage, chicken, chowder, draft beer, soda, and water. It's $35 per person. There's horseshoes and a corn bag toss, so go out and have some fun. The 35th Northwest Connecticut Crop Hunger Walk is also today. It starts off at 1 o'clock at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School. Local food banks and voucher programs received over $8,000 from last year's walk. Please walk, form a team, underwrite expenses, or donate online. Visit crophungerwalk.org or call 860-435-2627 for more information. Crop Hunger Walks are community-wide events sponsored by Church World Service and organized by religious groups, businesses, schools, and others to raise funds to end hunger in the U.S., and around the world. The Kildonan School on 425 Morse Hill Road remembers Diana Hanbury King, and a celebration of her life and legacy will happen today at 1 p.m. The 2018 Burger Laverack TH Alumni Soccer Game and Chicken Barbecue happens today at the Copaic Memorial Park. The soccer game starts at 1 p.m. Chicken Barbecue is at 4 p.m., all proceeds will be donated to Dollars for Scholars toward a scholarship in honor of Justin Berger and Fred Laverack III. T-shirts and barbecue tickets are $10 each. Finally, Wanda Houston and Michael Berkeley will present an afternoon of Broadway show tunes at 2 p.m. today at the First Congregational Church on the Green in Sheffield. A suggested donation of $15 will support the maintenance of the First Berkshire County Meeting House that was built back in 1765. Just one more. On Saturday, October 6th, the Canaan VFW will be holding their Oktoberfest. German fare served from 12 to 2. German beer is on tap. They'll have German music from 12 to 2 by Paul Ramuni with his accordion. Tickets are $20 per person. The first 200 tickets include a commemorative beer stein. For Robinhood Radio, I'm Chad Wildy.
Scar Dave, welcome to this edition of Hometown Sunday Morning.
Accordion music.
Accordion.
Yeah.
They do. He does that every year, doesn't he, Chad?
The Oktoberfest?
Yeah.
I
think I've heard the name before.
Oh, sure. But I think this might be the first time the Canaan VFW does it.
Do you think I should go with my Lederhosen?
You should.
What do you think, Chad?
You can stay home.
Oh.
Well, you can bet on it. It's $20. So.
Oh, yeah, huh?
So the, the Sons of the American Legion have been over at the post home since 6 o'clock this morning preparing for that big clam bake. And, boy, what a day they have weather-wise. Couldn't be a more beautiful day
cool,
for
sunny.
Nice clam bake. Those tickets, I believe, are sold out. So just call ahead if you think there may be some at the door. There won't be, I don't believe, but. Call ahead just in case somebody couldn't go and they want to donate their ticket. There's always a possibility. Mm-hmm. So I'll look that number up in a minute. But a lot of stuff going on this upcoming week that we're going to have to talk about. So we're going to get right underway. I know Jeannie Salader sent in a couple of interviews that she has done during the week. I'm sure she'll be calling about the upcoming fall festival in Salisbury, which is sponsored by the Tri-State Chamber of Commerce. I know Willie Hallahan's probably already with his finger on the button to call in and tell us about all the different things that are going on this week as everything heats up leading up to the fall scenario. So we're going to kick this show right off with Larry the Patriot's troop tribute and also with an additional comment or two by Farmer Paul, who had a homework assignment to do some research on the one topic that Mr. Conklin wanted him to do. He was assigned.
Assigned.
Okay. So who wants to kick it off?
I relegate my time to Farmer Paul.
You do?
Oh,
the whole thing?
Please don't
no,
say those words.
No, and I have a final. I'll kick off when he's done.
All right. So we're going to flip over to Farmer Paul to start us off.
Flip is the word. Let's see. Okay. Well, my assignment was to talk about something about Gold Star mothers, and I think we've talked about Gold Star mothers quite a few times. Yeah, at least twice.
Yeah.
Over the years, but who they are? They're an organization that was founded during the First World War of mothers who had lost a child as a casualty during the war. I did a little research about what they did after World War I, which is kind of interesting, actually, and unique, because they never did it after this particular episode, so I'll talk a little bit about it. Just as a little background, though, during the First World War, if someone died in Europe, the relatives or next of kin were contacted and asked if they wanted the person to be buried in Europe or if they wanted the body shipped back to the United States. And most of them were shipped back to the United States, but there were still over 15,000 burials that were left in Europe. And unlike the Civil War, where things were chaotic, there actually was some sort of order to the burial where they actually tried to make markers. They tried to put paraphernalia with the grave so that they could determine who it was that was actually buried there. But after the war, the Gold Star mothers got together and said, well, a lot of our members would like to travel to Europe to see the graves of their children. And they became a lobbying group. And over the next 10 years, they lobbied the U.S. Congress to get a act passed so that they would be given compensation for going to Europe. And what came out of this is that there was a office formed with the military that would sponsor these pilgrimages to Europe. So the final act authorizing the Secretary of War to arrange these pilgrimages was in 1929. And the first ones were started in 1930. Groups of women, eventually about 3,000 women made the pilgrimages. Groups of them were given company numbers and put into a group that would go on to a particular ship. And it involved quite a bit of organization, actually. In 1930 alone, actually, the Quartermaster General of the Army provided the services for 3,653 mothers and widows between May 16th and September 22nd, with each trip lasting 2 weeks. And they tried to organize the pilgrimage because of the circumstances. It was as little disturbance to the way of living of the pilgrims as possible, and considered both physical and psychological comforts. Now, here are some of the things that they had to think about. The age of the women created problems. Their average age was between 61 and 65, which reduced the speed with which almost all the operations of the pilgrimage could have been conducted because of their health. The methods of travel, the food, everyday living conditions were different from what they were accustomed to. They not only went to Paris, because most of the grave sites were in France, but also small country towns where many of the graves were located. And to do this, the quartermaster had to obtain special permission to do things that weren't customary. And where the quartermaster thought he couldn't get permission, they had to make adjustments and compromises so as not to disturb the women's morale. Almost none of the women spoke French, so they had to make provisions for field personnel. And they also wanted to make sure that this wasn't considered like a holiday or a pleasure trip. But on the other hand, they didn't want to encourage people to, you know, become hysterical about the entire thing. So I have a little history of one of the specific pilgrimages that was done. There were quite a few between 1930 and 1933. All right. So before the women left home, the quartermaster sent each a list of what to pack and gave detailed travel arrangements. The War Department warned that women to wear somewhat heavier clothing to protect them against the cold and dampness. Because of the lack of laundry facilities, the quartermaster urged them to pack sufficient underwear, nightgowns, stockings, and handkerchiefs. The travel arrangements included dates and times of travel, as well as berth, seat, or room number for the ship, trains, and hotel rooms. As I mentioned, they assigned each group a number, or a letter, rather, and tried to make it heterogeneous or homogeneous. One of the nasty aspects of this is that it was segregated by race. So all African-American women were in one particular groups or particular groups, and others were in other groups. So when they got to Cherbourg, the port where they landed, Colonel Ellis was the functionary in France, along with a staff of 10 that included two nurses, met the ship when it docked. The War Department had made special arrangements with the French authorities to get the women off the boats as quickly as possible. And although French law required that baggage be checked carefully, the Director General of Customs issued instructions that reduced the customs formalities to a minimum. The Operations Division worked with the International Dining and Sleeping Car Company to provide meals for the women on their way to Paris. And to avoid the congestion of the main Paris train station, special arrangements were made for the trains to arrive at a different station, which was usually reserved for state occasions. The executive officer and his staff, nurses, and interpreters met the party at that station. And among the party that greeted the women were a brass band. The women stayed. The staff reserved an entire hotel for the women. They stayed at this particular hotel in Paris. The accommodations consisted of double rooms with twin beds and bath. Traditionally, the police controlled registration at hotels in France and throughout Europe, but rather than have the women provide that information to the police, the quartermaster's office was permitted to submit the forms containing the names and room assignments of each woman, as well as all the other information that the police needed. Each party selected, each one of these parties assigned by letter, selected an honor pilgrim, which who laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at the Arc de Triomphe. The Ministry of Pensions arranged with the Federation of Veteran Societies in France to have their representatives at each wreath laying. Following the wreath laying, the women had tea and reception at a restaurant at the other end of the Champs-Élysées. And aside from a trip to Fontainebleau, the women were free to see Paris or be with their thoughts until they left for the cemetery in about a week after that. Then after that, the party left for a cemetery outside of Paris, had lunch, and even that, which would seem to be fairly simple, required negotiations between the War Department and the French hotels, because the War Department wanted to provide them with American-style meals, and the hotel had to add kitchen staff. They also had to negotiate what the price was per pilgrim that was there. The next day, they went to the various battlefields towards the French, Belgian, German borders. So to do that, a lot of the cemeteries didn't have any restrooms or cafes that could serve them. So the quartermaster built, within 90 days, rest houses at each of the cemeteries. The rest houses had tables, comfortable chairs, and restrooms, as well as kitchen facilities. And each rest house had a shady porch for the hot weather and a large open fireplace for the cooler days. On another day, they had visited a different cemetery. The quartermaster very carefully planned the reception at the cemeteries to make the visit as personal as possible. They didn't permit any ceremonies, but they focused on each woman's visit. The cemetery superintendent gave each pilgrim a grave locator card, and cemetery staff guided each woman to the particular grave. The guide then gave the women flowers and a wreath to put on the grave and took a photograph. And then after that, they were pretty much free to sightsee for the next few days until they left France. So that was a typical pilgrimage that was sponsored and paid for entirely by the United States government. And that was a result of the lobbying that the Gold Star Mothers did during that time period.
Wow.
And I never heard of them, of the government paying for something similar in other wars, because I'm sure there's lots of people buried, soldiers buried in Europe and Asia as a result of World War II, Korea as a result of the Korean War, and I don't know about Vietnam.
Well, it's gone pretty much public.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
So,
don't some of the American Legions and VFWs do trips like that, though?
Yeah, no, there's the honor flight.
Right.
There's different yeah. organizations. I'm assuming at this time we were speaking of is steamship, probably.
Yes, they went by steamship,
and it's had to be quite an extensive, arduous journey.
A couple of weeks.
Well, the trip lasted 10 days.
Yeah,
just one way, and then they were there for 2 weeks.
And the Atlantic is pretty nasty.
Well,
it can be.
I mean, it was all during the summer.
Yeah.
So. So that's my
quartermaster had his work cut out for him.
I can imagine, because these people probably had no experience with long
distance
traveling.
No, they probably never been to sea.
It was a rather traumatic experience because they were going to see their probably sons' graves.
Oh yeah, no, so, absolutely.
Yeah. So,
what's the name of the? Do you have the name and address of that guy that was building outhouses in 90 days?
He's not around.
Because we should forward it
to Ralph.
To Ralph.
Hook him up with Ralph.
Maybe his some distant relative of his is still building them.
I don't think they were environmentally as advanced as
You don't
today.
Think so?
No, I doubt
well,
it.
I'm still...
They're probably still, cheaper.
I'm still wondering about Ralph's. That's for another day.
That's for another day.
That was very good, Larry.
Thank you.
Nice history lesson.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard. You just called me Larry.
Well, now Farmer
same
Paul
difference. You and Larry are the same.
Yeah, we're twins.
Yeah, we are.
Siamese and twins.
Four. Brothers from another mother.
Yeah, brothers from from another planet.
And sometimes I kind of wonder. Good morning, hometown listeners. And we'll carry on. Our Sundays here on Hometown Sunday Morning are waning, coming to a conclusion. Today, I'll again address a veteran support agenda. There is a great deal of veteran support out there, but you must take that first step, veterans, and be proactive. I would first suggest contacting the newly created veteran-staffed White House hotline at 1-855-948-2311, available 24/7. A veteran-oriented staff will answer any of your questions and additionally suggest support groups, institutions, facilities, etc. No matter what you may be experiencing, there is support to get your life back on track or enhance it. The VA, besides offering medical care, have a variety of counselors to discuss and coordinate your concerns or needs. They are a bit slow addressing PTSD and TBI, yet there are many public sector patriots offering help in that and your area. There are various veteran-oriented lending agencies offering low rates and lenient approval. They are there to help you purchase and renovate a home, or for auto loan or personal loans. The internet will supply you with a vast array of choice. If you don't have internet service, contact the Veteran White House hotline, open 24/7 at 1-855-948-2311. They'll help you. They'll guide you to the appropriate agency. Stop by a VFW or maybe a Legion sometime. Veterans naturally gravitate to one another. The following are some honorable ways to help veterans. Pick up their tab for a coffee or meal. Drive a vet to a doctor's appointment. Train a service dog, and you listeners, and Bark and Amy at Home Farm here in Sharon supported this cause, raising an incredible $8,000 to bond a veteran in need with a service dog. Great job, people. Together, we made a difference. Replace one light bulb with a green one. Farmer Paul's just chomping at the bit to question this.
Yeah, I don't. What's that?
Help sponsor an honor flight. Write an appreciative letter to a veteran. Believe me, in today's society, this is mostly overlooked and so appreciated by a recipient veteran. Volunteer at a VA hospital. Involve yourself with veteran assistance programs. Many of you patriots already do one or more of these mentioned. Thank you, one and all. I have been asked to consider continuing our veteran tribute segment after Hometown Sunday morning fades into the sunset. I gave this serious consideration and have respectfully declined. I am and have always been accustomed to working as a team unit. Together, a close-knit unit can bring out the best combined desired effect. I feel my best effort would be lacking as a solo operator in this scenario. If I can't give something my best effort, I would disappoint you, listeners, and myself, and that is unacceptable. It's been a good run, folks, and I've enjoyed the support of many of you. Enough said today. I'll return the third Sunday in October for another couple of weeks of Veterans Tribute editions before we end. Until then, God bless our military, our veterans, those protecting us foreign and domestically, and, of course, you faithful listeners and your families. Back to NASCAR.
All right. Well done,
What's
guys.
The green light?
Huh?
The green light that he mentioned.
Green light bulb. It signifies a household support and appreciation for veteran sacrifice.
I see. Okay.
And today, I think about right now, the Stephen Stiller Towers to Tunnel Run is taking place in Manhattan.
Really? Yes, it is.
And they raised a lot of money to build smart homes for disabled veterans. They built one right there in Millerton for Steam Value. And that's a great organization from one of the tragedies that came out of 9/11.
Another great thing they do is they pay off a widow or the families of those involved, they pay off their mortgage, which is a big relief.
That's quite a bit.
Okay, with that being said, we always start off with a couple of tribute songs, and this goes out to all those who have served or are currently serving to protect our freedoms.
With a new M16, just doing what he had to do.
Of November by Big and Rich. Partly cloudy today, a high of 66. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 52. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun early, then becoming cloudy later in the day with a high of 69. It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
Okay, just to continue our troop tribute this morning, that's what I wanted to do. We're going to do another song right after this, but this is kind of on a lighter side. Northeast Weavetuck Central School District showed just how everyone is treated like family by helping to reunite Weavetuck High School Secretary Melanie Kay with her daughter Alicia on Thursday, September 20th. For the last 10 months, Alicia Kay, 22, has been serving in her second year with the United States Army, where she has been an ammunition specialist. With her military orders requiring a full calendar year of her service, her family originally expected her back in New York near the end of October. Unbeknown to Kay, her daughter had other plans in mind for her return home. Reaching out to Weavetuck High School principal, Katie McEnroe, she explained that she wanted to surprise her mom at work, and the two collaborated over the next 4 days for a surprise set for Thursday, September 20th. Driving all the way from Texas, Alicia arrived at the district office at noon. Dressed from head to toe in her military uniform, she marched up the step towards the district office where she was ushered in by McEnroe. Together, they walked down a hallway and into the back entrance of the high school main office where Melanie was working. As Melanie placed calls and fulfilled her daily task, her daughter was in the next room waiting for McEnroe's cue to walk in. With a gesture from McEnroe, Alicia quietly walked behind her mother and waited for her to notice her presence. Halfway into a conversation with Weavetuck High School and Eugene Brooks Intermediate School Assistant Principal Matthew Pascal, Melanie didn't recognize that something was amiss until she turned her head to the side and saw, to her amazement, that her daughter was standing next to her. With joy written all over her face, she embraced her daughter in between laughter and tears. Offering Melanie a hug and her congratulations, McEnroe told her that she had the rest of the day off to be with her daughter and that someone would cover her responsibilities in the main office. So that's a pretty cool reunited story right there at Weavetuck High School, and thank you, Alicia, for your service to our country. And now we'll continue with the second song.
The days feel like weeks, the weeks turn into years. I can still see your cheeks holding up them tears. After all the times I'd seen, I'd be gone away, but not for too long, not for too long. 'Cause I'm coming home where my heart is always. Cause the right to be free, I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
nothing, 'cause I stand for you and me.
Listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
A perfectly appropriate tune, Chad. Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
And I'm NASCAR Dave. Welcome back. Wow. Larry, you feel all right?
Yeah, it was quite an introduction.
No, you feel all right? You.
That was a perfect selection.
Huh. That's one of the first times I've ever heard him praise, Chad.
Well, he's...
Oh, I compliment where compliments are due.
We praise Chad all the time here.
Yeah. We look out for each other.
I think so, yeah.
And we throw each other in the bus when appropriate.
No, we never do that to Chad.
So we have a listener on the air?
We do.
I don't really feel like talking to anybody today. All right, what do you think about that, Chad?
Well, this
I just really don't feel like talking to anybody
today.
Who
it is.
If it's this particular listener, you don't have to do very much talking at all.
Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Dave, it's Willie, and I don't feel like talking to you either. So.
How are you, Willie?
How's everybody?
Good.
As usual, it's a busy time of year, as you stated earlier. Fall festival, there are festivals all over the place, and in my world, there are a lot of sports-related fundraisers going on, walkathons, golf tournaments, and so forth. Yesterday, I wanted to make note of this. I went to visit an event up at Monument Mountain High School. It's a walk called Out of the Darkness. It's an event that's held in over 400 locations around the country. There's one today, actually, over on the walkway across the Hudson. But Out of the Darkness is a suicide awareness group, and they gather to raise money for the organization to promote awareness about suicide prevention, suicide in general, and to work towards its prevention. And it was an extremely moving experience for me. There are 500 people who walked in this, by the way. It was a massive gathering. And what they do is they get there and they each take a necklace, a string of beads, sort of like Mardi Gras beads, except they're one color and there are several colors. And each color reflects the particulars of their loss. An incredible thing to behold. For example, someone who's wearing orange beads lost a sibling, brother or sister, or gold beads if they lost a parent, or red if they've lost a spouse or a mate, and white if they've lost a child. So you're walking around, and there are all these people there, and they're all wearing beads. And what I didn't expect to see, I was aware of this before I went, the whole color scheme thing, but I wasn't aware, it didn't occur to me that there'd be people wearing multiple beads. And there's one woman who was one of the organizers of the event, she was one of the speakers, who had a string of almost every color bead. She had lost a parent, a father, to suicide. She'd lost a child to suicide.
Wow.
One of the colors that I didn't mention is green, which reflects one's own struggle with suicide. Either they've attempted suicide themselves or they've had thoughts of it and struggle with the notion. And she had those too. So she's had suicide in her life all over the place. Can you imagine? Anyway, I talked to people. I tried to avoid anyone wearing white because I just couldn't bring myself to address that. But yet they came to me and were very forthcoming about it. And one of the things that I couldn't comprehend going into this event was that it's, despite the nature of this event, it was billed as a celebration. It was meant to be celebratory. And I couldn't. It seemed like two conflicting views that I couldn't quite wrap my brain around, but they made it clear that, there was hardship. There were people there who had lost a child within the past year, and they were there to celebrate. And what allowed them to do that, to be able to celebrate these lives, was the fact that there's so many people there just like them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the interconnectedness of people same issue that made it all work. But anyway, I was glad to have been able to participate in that, and it'll certainly be a blog subject for me in maybe this coming week.
Now, did they walk like on a track at the Monument Mountain School?
For the most part, they started off right in front of the school, and they walked down onto Route 7 to go up into the parking lot, and then they went around, and most of it was done on the school grounds. They have quite a campus there at Monument Mountain.
Mm.
And, except for one, basically the start of the event, pretty much all done on the campus. And there were people, it was like a 2-mile walk. The distance, walks are all non-competitive. You know, there's nobody's hustling to try to win or anything. It's just
a
walk.
Pace.
You know, and there are people who, because of their age or whatever, who couldn't do the hills. They could just go over to their track. They have most schools, they have a quarter-mile track, and they could just walk around the track as much as they want to. So, and they had things set up like quiet areas where people are walking along and chatting as they go, but they're areas that were meant to be more reflective. So it was quite an event. I was honored to be just to witness it.
That's kind of unbelievable when you think about the size of our area, and there's 500 people walking, and a lot of them have beads.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure what makes this particular cause resonate with me. I've known people who've succumbed to suicide, but not a family member or not the very closest of people to me. But I think there's something about that form of death that sets itself apart from illness or accidents or so forth. I'm not quite sure what it is, and maybe it's because the survivors carry so much of a burden from it. But anyway, it was really something, and again, I was glad to participate.
Nice.
Today, there's a number of events. Oftentimes on Sundays, there's running races, and they're typically in the morning, so there are several that were run this morning here or there that are over with, including another Out of the Darkness event, as I said, over on the Hudson River. But there are a couple things people can still do today if they want. They're the very last of the Housatonic Heritage Walks are today. I've been talking about it all month because they've been going on all month. And there are a couple this afternoon at 1. There's a plant walk at McAllister Wildlife Refuge in Great Barrington, and a hike on Laurel Hill and Stockbridge. Those are both at 1. The others today have all come and gone. And also, as Chad talked about earlier, the crop walk is today. That's the registration is at 1. They actually kick off at 1:30. That's been a hugely popular event around here for years. I don't know how many years they've been doing it here, but it's a big deal. I can't remember the church organization that sponsors it. It too is worldwide. World Church. I can't remember the exact name of it. But anyway, it's a religious organization that.
Yeah, Church World Service.
Thank you. Yes, yep. That's it. And typically, where they have a walk, it's a church that does it locally, and Trinity Church in Lime Rock is the host for this one. And the way it works is that of all the money they raise, and last year this local one raised $31,000. I'm sure they've raised their goal.
It's incredible when you think about it.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. People respond. Walks, and I've talked about this before, walks are a good way to raise money because they don't charge you to walk. It's not like a race where they charge you $25 to get in. That you get into a walk for free, but you're asked to fundraise in advance of it. You know, so you know, if there are 200 people that show up at an event and every one of them has been a little fundraiser of sorts, asking their friends or neighbors or whatever for money, that adds up. And then after the event, there's always a lead time where, you know, the stragglers, the people who haven't paid yet or you haven't collected all your money, oftentimes it goes to the end of the year where that's the window where you can, you know, clean up the finances and bring in the last of the money. So, And who doesn't respond to hunger, you know? And in this particular organization, 25% of the funds stay right in the area, and 75% go worldwide to take care of hunger issues throughout the world. One of the things there's a lot to like about the Crop Walk. One of the things I like, and I've touched on it before, is how many young people get into the Crop Walk. A lot of the people who are walking are high school kids. Appropriately, this starts off at Hoosie, Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and a lot of those kids get involved. Plus, teams from area prep schools sign on, too. So whenever you're saying, we need to get the young people involved, they are. They're involved. I can tell you a handful of events where young people dominate, actually. The Spring Splash, you know, over at the Grove in Lakeville, where they raise money for the Jane Lloyd Fund and the John Rice Scholarship Fund. Over half the participants who are jumping into the cold water are Housatonic students and students from Berkshire School, Hotchkiss Salisbury Boys School. Over half of the people who participate are these you know, secondary school students. And there's a swimathon coming up at Hotchkiss School. Keith Moon, the teacher there, organizes it, and they raise money for Special Olympics. They'll raise $8,000 in the swimathon. It's an all-day event, and they're almost exclusively school kids because they're swimming teams from all over the area. So young people are doing a lot. I just, we need to remember that. The Crop Walk recognizes three sponsors. They basically only have three business sponsors. I guess they're the only ones they need, but they recognize LeBond's, Stop and Shop, and the Kane and McDonald's as their main and only sponsors.
Wow.
So that's going on today. You don't have to get in. If you got something else to do today and you can't make the walk, but you believe in the cause, you can either find somebody who's walking or, like I said, there's a lead time. You can contribute after the walk for some period of time, and of course, your contribution will be appreciated.
I think that's a key to how they make as much money as they do. They don't just do it the day of the event. They leave it open for a while.
Yeah, and I've covered events. I've written up like a run-a-thon or a softball tournament or something that's actually a fundraiser for something larger. You know, so it's not just a fundraiser. It's an event within itself. Except that the proceeds are going to a walk-a-thon or something, if you follow my point there. So, yeah, there's a lot going on throughout the year all the time. And you know, a lot of them end up being part of a walk of some sort. Coming up this week, there won't be too many weeks of these, but there's several golf tournaments coming up this week. Tomorrow, the PJ Mannion Golf Tournament. That's a tournament I didn't know anything about, but Chad made me aware of that. I don't know the particulars of the person. I know that the the beneficiary is an organization called Help Hope Live, which is actually a fundraising platform geared towards the medical world.
Yeah, PJ, he had a double lung transplant. This procedure cost well over $1 million, I'm sure. His wife, Mrs. Mannion, is a grade school teacher at the school that I used to work at. So that's how I became aware of it.
Where was that? What part? Like, yeah, I didn't write down what part of the world this is all taking place in. Is it?
Let's see. I think it's in Sherman. I think it's happening in Sherman. I don't have the flyer right in front of me. Oh, but I can look it up.
If it's Sherman, it's probably that
Oaks. Something Oaks. Club in the Oaks.
River Oaks.
Yeah, River Oaks.
River Oaks, yeah. It's a very, very nice private golf course. Yeah. People will enjoy playing there or be frustrated by it, either one. But anyway, thank you, Chad, for making me aware of that. That's always my biggest challenge, finding out about new events to write up. Also, Monday is a long-time tournament. It's called the BLN Golf Tournament at the Torrington Country Club. And the B stands is three businesses that get together to sponsor this. The B stands for Brooks, Todd, and McNeil, the insurance agency. The L stands for Litchfield Bank Corp. And the N stands for Northwest Community Bank. And they combined to sponsor this very popular golf tournament in the Torrington area, and there's a whole basket of beneficiaries from it, the Susan B. Anthony Project, the Community Kitchen, the McCall Foundation, there are a couple others that all, and they raise a lot of money. I don't have the figure of what they raise, but it's one of the biggies. There's a handful of events I find throughout the year that everybody seems to gravitate towards. It's a major fundraiser, and they pull out all the stops, and there are tens of thousands of dollars that get raised by these, and I'm sure that's one of them. And so those two tournaments are Monday. Tuesday, Kent Fire Company and the Sharon Fire Company are going to try again to get in their golf tournaments.
Oh, my God.
This is the second time for Kent, and I think this is the third try for the Sharon Fire Company. To get. Now, if ever you've ever heard of the seven-day weather cycle, I've become a believer of that over time. The weather gets into patterns where every 7 days the weather is the same as it was the week before. Either it's always a nice sunny Sunday, or it's always a rainy Tuesday. Well, Tuesdays have been rainy for weeks, and I guess by nature of available space or whatever, Sharon has been trying for three consecutive Tuesdays to get their tournament in. So I'm hoping for luck for both those. You know, Kent, they're both fire companies. They're both raising money for their fire departments, and God bless them. So let's hope, everybody pray that the seven-day cycle is going to be broken this Tuesday for their sake.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, man, it poured last Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, there's no getting there. Sometimes you can, you know, if it's raining lightly with periods of heavy rain, you can endure it, but not a day like that. You know, it's just a washout.
How many inches did we get? It's like four.
And then Wednesday is the KFC Golf Tournament, the Canaan Country Club. It's the Canaan KFC, and they always raise money for high school scholarships.
I'm looking at the weather.
Yeah.
No, no.
Oh, no.
It's 20% all week except for Tuesday. It's 60%.
No, really? Well.
But it says, you know, just showers or sun, yeah. Sun and showers, so let's hope it goes right.
Yeah, and as long as there's no thunder or lightning, you know, that kills a tournament right there. Yeah, let us pray for them. And the KSC is on Wednesday. And then it's clear till the weekend. Now, you know, the Jeannie will be calling in, of course, about the fall festival weekend in Salisbury. There are several running events on Saturday. The first one is on Saturday. It's dear to my heart because it's over at the ski jumps, and it's the Fall Fest Charity 5K Trail Run. They start at the ski jump site, and they run down the rail trail and back. It's an out-and-back race. It's being sponsored by the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau. They also have a golf tournament during the summer that I plan. They do very good work with young people. And that's on Saturday, the Fall Festival weekend. Also, Dave, you'll appreciate this one. There's a race also on Saturday. It's called Run for Your Knives, and it's sponsored by the Culinary Institute of America.
There you go.
And it's held over there. I think the whole thing might be run on their campus. And they, what I never realized is 90% of the people who are enrolled in the Culinary Institute are on some form of scholarship or other. So scholarship money is highly needed there, and that's where the proceeds from this event goes. And if you're a student there, you run for free. And it's I can't remember the price, but they're all priced about the same. Anyway, that's going on next Saturday. And also next Saturday is an event that I think it's kind of new, or at least new to this area. It's called the Connecticut Tour de Farm. It's a bicycle tour that starts at White Memorial Conservation Center in Litchfield. I use that name a lot because so many events either start there or run within their property. And this is a bicycle tour. There are two different tours. There's a 16-mile and a 26-mile ride that goes through Litchfield and Goshen and Morris, and they stop at farm stands or agricultural places. And it's sort of geared towards stopping there and buying stuff, buying produce. You stop at the farm, I can't remember the name of it, in Goshen that makes and sells chocolate. There's a wine stop, and there's a van that goes along the ride, and if you've stopped your bicycle and bought something, you can put it in the van. The van takes it back to White Memorial where the ride ends. So this is sponsored by the Connecticut Resource Conservation Development Organization. It's a state organization, and it's meant to promote agricultural activities, and the proceeds from this ride go for their programs. They're always looking for ways to enhance the agriculture in all of its forms. When you don't often, you think of farming, you think of vegetables or meats, but chocolate, the wine, they're all part of the agricultural process. And the last thing on next Saturday is the Highland Lake 10K. That's been around for quite a while. It's run over at Highland Lake in Winston. And that's pretty much for the sports related events for this week. And then Sunday, if I have to change hats here from Sporting a Cause to Swassa.
Well, hold on. Why don't we do the top of the hour about a minute or two early, and then
okay.
Then we'll come back to you and we'll talk about the what's going on with the fall festivals.
Great.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
Excuse me, what's your name?
My name is Robin Hood Radio.
And what do you think you're doing?
I'm taking back the airwaves. What do you think I'm doing?
Well, why are you taking back the airwaves?
Well, somebody has to do it.
So how can I help?
Well, all you do is turn on, tune in, and drop out. Robin Hood Radio, taking back the airwaves just for you.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
Okay, we're back, Willie.
Hey.
See how fast that was? We didn't even play a tune today.
It's so good to be back.
Well, see, I changed my whole hat now. I want to do nothing but talk.
Right? Well, I can hang up and listen. You know?
Well, so anyway, it still is a full week of fundraisers, though. Compared to like earlier in the year where there may be one golf tournament a week.
Yeah.
No, this week is almost every day again.
Yeah, no, September is the busiest month, certainly for golf and maybe even for running events. And throughout October, as it gets colder and the days get shorter, the golf tournaments will peter out. And the running events will slow down, but they never stop. Running events go year-round. They're running events in February, January, New Year's Day. There are three of them, I think, have on the schedule. And they, of course, slow down, but then they start up again in the spring. So they never really stop. People bundle up and run. There's one in February. It's held in Norfolk, of all places. I mean, the coolest place in the state and the coolest month of the year, and they have runs. Go figure.
I'm thinking Satry Hill is just about the same temperature as Norfolk, just so you know.
Sometimes it feels like it. There's something about being in that amphitheater that on a cold day. But this Saturday will not be that way. It'll be a nice sunny fall Saturday, this Saturday when the race takes place, and on Sunday when the Brewski Fest takes place. And
yeah, so now that's your next, SWAS's next big event.
Yeah, it's, we're the beneficiary. I have to correct myself sometimes. They call it a SWAS event. It's actually State Line Wine and Spirits is runs it. They sponsor it. They run it. And it's for SWAS's benefit. We hold it over at the jump set, the ski jump site. And it takes, just the way Dylan Baker does in Sharon, it requires a package store to run a beer tasting event because they're the only ones who have the pull with the breweries to make them come on a Saturday or Sunday with their pourers and put on these events because it's the package stores who are the customers of these breweries. So it takes somebody in the business, so to speak, to be able to organize these. And State Line Wine and Spirits does it for us, and they get 30. I don't know what the final count is because it grows and shrinks, and people add on at the last minute, and a couple bail at the last minute. But it's up in the middle 30s, 35, let's say, breweries who will come to Satry Hill on Sunday and show their stuff. Each one will offer 4, 5, 6 different species of their beer. There'll be several cider companies because cider has become more and more popular. I can't remember what they call it, spike sodas, I think this is a term. That's another category that's gaining in popularity. So there'll be something for everybody there in the alcoholic world. That's SWAS's second biggest fundraiser of the year behind JumpFest. So it's important for us. It's becoming quite popular. We'll get between 300 and 400 people there. The tickets are $30 a piece. If you buy them in advance, you can get them at State Line Wine and Spirits in Canaan. And you can also get them online at brewskifest.com. And it's $35 at the door. So you're saving yourself $5 if you get them in advance. And it runs from 1 to 4 in the afternoon on Sunday. The Sunday in the Country Food Drive will be cooking burgers and brats, and the proceeds will be going to the food drive, of course. We have live music. The Steve Dunn Band will be playing, and we decorate it in fall fashion with pumpkins and corn stalks and everything. We it takes two truckloads of pumpkins and corn stalks from Daisy Hill Farm that we put all over the place, and then as people leave, we tell them to take a pumpkin. Everybody grabs a pumpkin, and on their way out, it's fun to watch. And then near the end of the day, probably just about 15 or 20 minutes before the end of the show, we do the golf ball roll, which is a fun thing. We have golf balls that are all numbered, and you can buy one for $5, I think it is, or more. We've accumulated them all. We take them up to the top of the landing hill, the big hill, and roll them all down. And the one that goes the furthest, it's a 50-50 affair, and so they get half of the proceeds. And it's always fun. Everybody, especially near the end of the beer tasting, everybody's pretty happy, and they all hoot and holler and yell and scream. It's fun. It's fun to watch.
Now,
so
and we need to say that this event is a rain or shine event because you use all of Jane Lloyd Fund's tenting so that everything's undercover.
That's right. Thank you. Yes, it is a rain or shine event, and it's there have been years, at least one, where it's been kind of drizzly, but it's okay. It's all tented. It's a Jane Lloyd Fund, and I think we borrow a tent or two from Lakeville Hose Company, but it's the entire thing is tented. And if it's cool, then we'll start a bonfire. We're good at that.
Keep
people warm. And
somebody is.
I'm not sure Nick Osborne shows up for that. He's the bonfire man during JumpFest, but
yeah, he only comes out when it's 30 below or more.
Yeah, and he always dresses apart, if you'll remember.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal. It's. I say it often enough, but I think it bears repeating. For people who go to these, there's a whole circuit of beer tastings. They've become very popular. It's where people get to experience brews that they don't find very often. Their own package store or wherever they come from might not have it, and they get a chance to try something different or even compare one to another. You can have two breweries side by side at the event and try an IPA from one and try and compare it to an IPA from the other. But our event isn't so big that you have to stand in line. You know, you never have to stand in line. You're given a commemorative 3-ounce tasting glass when you arrive, and you can just go up to a brewery table and talk to them about what they've got. They'll explain what's in them, the brewing process, the nuances of that particular brand of beer. And you can taste it and then move over to the next, and you never have to stand in the line. Maybe you got one person in front of you at the most, but you got 35 breweries, you got 300 or some odd people there, and multiple pourers. You never have to stand in line like you do in a big event where you got several thousand people. So it's big enough to be a good event for us, but it's small enough to have an intimacy, almost a party atmosphere about it. So
yeah, and you know what? It really does go along with the whole thing that the Salisbury and Lakeville and the Chamber of Commerce are doing with the with the entire fall festival. I mean, it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's the last day of the 3-day festival. I'm not sure exactly when things wrap up in town because we're usually involved in tearing things down afterwards. Our event closes at 4, and probably it's not too long thereafter when things start to wind down in town for the third day. But I guess you could look at it as kind of the end bookend to the event. And it's nice because of the way it's timed. It's 1 in the afternoon. You can go into town earlier and get a hot dog at one of the churches. You know, the churches are all cooking, and there are all kinds of things to do. Some of their businesses that make craft kind of things, like woolen goods and so forth. There's plenty of time to go have breakfast or lunch or something someplace, and then come over to the Brewski Fest and have a beer and a brat.
Nothing better than that.
Nothing better than that.
A little sauerkraut.
Yep, yep. With and bring your friends. So third element is beer, brats, and friends.
What could be better than that?
Yes, indeed.
Wow. So once again, how do we get tickets to that? If you want,
if you want an advance ticket, save yourself a few dollars. For $30, you can get them in advance right up until that day. There's no real cutoff until the event starts. You can get them at the State Line Wine and Spirits in Canaan. They do a great job. I mean, they'll start not long after this event ends and start planning for the next year. They're tireless in that regard. You can either pick them up, get your tickets there, or you can get them online at brewskifest.com. And they're $35 at the door. If you miss out on that, you can just get them right. The ticket trailer that's out there during Jump Fest, it's out there for the Brewski Fest too, our gorgeous ticket trailer.
Well, yeah, it's a sight to behold.
People actually take pictures of that.
Well, they should.
Yeah,
there
was a girl, she was leaving Jump Fest, I think, last year, maybe it was a Friday night, and she was pausing to take a picture. Said, I guess I have to apologize for this. She said, no, are you kidding me? This is great. I've never seen anything like this before. And she's probably right. There probably isn't anything like our trailer, our ticket trailer.
Nice.
Both inside and out.
All right. So busy weekend coming up and a busy week leading up to it with all different fundraisers.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeannie will have a lot to say about the scarecrows and everything else. So, leave that all to her.
Now, I got your message yesterday about looking at your blog, but I didn't get a chance to do it yet, so why don't you talk a little bit about it?
The reason I've written, 26 blogs, I guess, since I've had the website going. It's where, so much of what's on the website are calendar things, and I'm writing up descriptions of events, but the blog is where I get a chance to delve into a little more deeply areas like nonprofits and so forth. And the reason I asked you to, I don't think I've ever asked you to check out a blog before, but this one, I think I, by its nature, I think I hope I've captured what I like my website to be, or I hope it's perceived as. So, the current, if you go to the homepage, sportingacause.com, it's the top blog. It's titled Our Heroes. And it touches on the current events as well as something about Sporting a Cause. And hopefully you'll like it.
All right, I'll check that out. So Sporting, S-P-O-R-T-I-N-G, a cause.com.
Yep.
And
yep.
Check out Willie's number one is calendar, and number two is weekly blogs.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
And as always, I appreciate you having me on.
All right, how's my good friend Kenny Barker doing?
Good. I haven't talked to him yet today. He's probably over the ski jumps every Sunday morning, pretty much. They are. And we'll be golfing later this afternoon over at Under Mountain.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. So I'm not going to be in next week, Willie. So if you want to get something on the air, maybe you can just touch base with Marshall, you and Jeannie, and maybe he could line something up to tape something.
Okay.
To keep
all
it
right.
going forward.
Okay, sure.
Oh, hold on. Marshall just said he awoke from his cave in the front room.
Yeah.
Like a bear, yeah, like coming out of hibernation. He'll contact you and Jeannie and get some information so that he can put something together.
Great. Great. I appreciate it.
All right.
As always.
That's not a problem.
Does Willie post photos on his website of any of the events or anything else?
What's that, Paul?
Do you post photos on the website of
I've just gotten to the point where I'm putting I've got an Instagram and, yeah. and posting events, pictures from recent events. I have photos there that are getting a little old. My goal is I have a scroll at the top. Which shows action photos from events, and there's a video there, and I hope to start changing those more frequently. So it's more and more visual, but Instagram, I think I've got about five little albums of past events, and those I'll add to those every week.
Well,
and Facebook is that's the last thing, probably the first thing I should have addressed, but the last one I've gotten to, and there'll be more on that too.
I would think photos of local celebrities like Kenneth S. Barker on your website would be really popular.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get a picture of him running in a 10K.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah, please, don't get a picture, make a video of it.
Yeah. It would be one for the ages, for
well,
sure.
Well, we were friends for a couple of minutes.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah,
Willie.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to see a picture of you too, so you should put your picture up.
Oh, that's okay. I suppose I should, but I think it's on there somewhere. I don't know, in the About Us section.
Yeah.
I think my mug shot's there somewhere.
All right. Well, Willie, it's always been fun it's been fun as always, and we won't chat with you next week, but we'll be back the following week.
Good enough. Well, we've all got a lot to do next weekend, so.
All right, and you'll be busy sitting in your little trailer selling tickets to the Brewski Fest.
Somebody's got to do it.
We'll have to send one of the boys or girls down to make sure you get something to eat.
Yeah, at least
because you malnourished down there in that trailer.
Yeah, yeah. I'll gorge myself at a beer fest. How's that?
Uh-huh. That's a good idea.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, rain or shine.
Rain or shine. Thank you for mentioning that. Yep, absolutely.
Brewski Fest next week at Satry Hill.
Yep.
And that starts at what, 1, you said?
1 to 4.
1 to 4.
Yep. Plenty of time.
Plenty of time to get pre-sale tickets for 30.
30 pre-sale, 35 at the door.
35 at the door. So, and plenty of room. Plenty of parking, plenty of room.
Park out in the field, walk in the beautiful roadway into the into the event, stop at the beautiful ticket trailer on your way in, and have a ball.
And you know that walk in is just as pretty this time of year as it is in the dead of winter when you
do
the ski jumps.
It is, because once it's kind of There's a kind of a overcover of hemlocks on the way in, and then when you get into there, this time of year at least, there are enough maples and oaks and so forth that it reflects New England fall, you know, as much as any place. So yeah, it's a good time of year to come visit the ski jumps.
All right. Well, Willie, once again, thank you very much.
And thank you all again, as always.
All right.
We'll
be in touch.
Bye.
All right. Let's take a short pause here on Hometown Sunday Morning. You're listening to us on Robinhood Radio, and we'll be right back and talk about some of the other events that are going on this week and a little bit beyond.
I saw the light. I've been baptized by the fire in your touch and the flame. I'm born to love again. I'm a brand new man. Well, the whole town's talking about the line I'm walking that leads right to your door. Oh, how I used to roam. I was a rolling stone. I used to have a wild side. They say a country mile. That's all.
And done with Brand New Man. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robinhood Radio and RobinhoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wilde.
Patriot Larry.
And I'm NASCAR Dave. Farmer Paul's the walk-off now.
It's planting.
We have a lot of walk-offs on this show for some reason. Anyway, good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, NASCAR Dave and all. Gene Salatier calling.
How are you?
Hello, hello.
So you've got a busy schedule.
Yes, indeed.
That's really a good play, just so that we get you right on the air.
Well, I never really know what a good play is anymore. You've got people walking off, you got people walking on. You're so popular, your phone line just rings and rings because it's all backed up because everybody wants a piece of you.
Yeah, okay. So tell us what's going on with the Big Fall Festival, because you know what? That's only 5 days away.
Tell me about
Not
it.
Even.
I got everything off to the printer, thankfully, so that was a big relief. Thank you to Stacey Moore. She's the best. Columbus Day weekend, October 5, 6, and 7, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in the historic villages of Salisbury and Lakeville. We have our 63rd annual Salisbury Fall Festival, which many, many moons ago was started by the churches. The little old ladies in the churches wanted to fill the coffers, and so they said, let's have a quilt show, and then it expanded into food, And then there were hay rides, and now it's a three-day extravaganza, and they're still going strong. This is still very much their event.
And it is, because all the churches, they take turns doing dinners or breakfast that whole week, right, or the 3 days?
Yeah, they've got, there's just food galore. You just have to see it to believe it. I can't go into too much detail due to time, but if you go to SalisburyFallFestival.org, it's a fantastic website done by Pamela Wyeth, and she updates it every minute or so. There's somebody new coming along, so she tries to keep on top of all of that, and it's not easy.
All right. So what are some of the things going on? Did you want to talk about that? Or
There's a couple of late entries that I didn't talk about. last week I squeezed in Salisbury Sinfonietta. They're having Pirates of Penzance down in Sharon Playhouse. That's the grand finale for their season, so that's a fun thing. The White Hart Inn will be hosting the Audubon Sharon Birds of Prey program. That's going to happen Saturday at 3 p.m. on the White Hart Green. And Rain will just simply bring the show inside to their big ballroom. So that's a rain or shine event.
Nice.
Yeah. The White Hart is very generous. They're good to the community, and we're happy to have them here for sure.
Well, it's nice they're back in action, because remember the years it was kind of empty without them.
Oh, I used to call it the missing tooth in Salisbury Smile. It was just so sad to drive by and see the lights out.
Yeah.
But John and Dan and everybody there have done a tremendous job, and it's dynamite to drive by there on a Saturday evening and see the place packed. You know, it's nice. It makes for a vibrant, you know, and they've got, you know, what is it called? Cornhole, I think it's called, the game on the lawn.
Yep.
They have Jenga. They have all sorts of little fun things to do on the lawn there, and anybody can stop in and do that.
Nice.
And they have Great Falls Cascadia Farewell on draft. Don't ask me how I know that. But Great Falls Brewing is the new brewery up in Canaan.
Really?
Really, yes. The White Hart Inn pours local brews,
which is a
great addition to their list.
Okay.
Let's see. New this year, Sunday at 11:30 a.m., come on to Community Field in Lakeville. That's the ball fields behind Patco and sort of behind Main Street there for the first ever pet parade. this is sponsored by Tri-State Chamber of Commerce, Pet Paree, Black Rabbit, Salisbury Community Dog Park, Ultimate Dog Spa and Boutique, and it's run by none other than Mary Wilbur, and she's got a couple of front and back leaders for the pack, and all animals must be leashed, and they must have legs.
That's a good one.
It is. That's going to be a lot of fun, and it's the first ever, and so there are no rules, and it's a quick 3/10 of a mile loop, sort of. We're not crossing Route 44 or Route 41. We're just hugging the corner there on our nice new sidewalks. So that'll be a really fun time. So come on down and see that. That's at 11:30 on Sunday morning.
Nice. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, definitely. All of this information goes out in the Friday folders in the Salisbury grade school there, Salisbury Central School. And, you know, the uptick when when the Friday folders get opened and the phone starts ringing is sort of fun to track. But come on down at 11:30 on Sunday and see what that's all about, and then that leaves you plenty of time to hop over to the Brewski Fest.
Absolutely.
Let's see. What else do we have? Also on Sunday from 5 to 9, the Interlaken Inn, another sponsor, is offering a free autumn appetizer when you purchase a craft cocktail. And their craft cocktail, or their autumn appetizer, is autumn squash toast with feta and arugula, which sounds amazing. Dare Rooney is the chef there, Dairy Rooney, and she's doing a great job. And they also are going to have a scarecrow in the scarecrow contest.
Oh, are they really?
Yes. Pretty much everybody has a scarecrow in the scarecrow contest. It was a lot easier this year.
Cool
than it was
that,
pulling
though?
It off last year.
That's good.
Just hit a few a few more things. There's art galore. The White Gallery, the Tremaine Gallery, the Salisbury Association has a history show. stick your head in there. Lulu Cherry is at the helm of the Salisbury Association now, and he's done really great things in that building. The paneling system that on which they hang these shows was in dire need of replacement, and he's replaced it with a new material. Excuse me. That's it's really bright and light in there. It's a fun space. And stop in and see this show. There's letters home from soldiers, and you know, I think of Larry. Certainly, he would love it.
Larry.
It's a neat show about the war and living here in Salisbury and how we helped and how it goes on and on. It's a great show. That's with the Salisbury Association on Main Street.
Right, that's the building I guarded one year for you.
Yes, we have to. It has to be manned at all times. And when we do a show in there, they ask that they, you know, you have somebody babysit it, basically. And yes, you were one of a couple of volunteers that helped out.
That is quite a setting, though, for something like that.
It's very intimate, it's nice. And yet they make the most of the space that they have.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's really neat.
The Historical Society there in Salisbury?
It's right there next to the pharmacy and post office. Well, actually, it's near the post
office. Yeah, it's right on the corner of Academy Street and Main Street.
Did you ever hear them doing video recordings of veterans discussing their wartime experiences?
I know there's an oral history of Salisbury. Would that be the same thing?
With Jean
McMillan, I think, is the woman's name.
I want to say it was something special, though, that they were doing. I remember I went over there once to try to find out, but they were closed that day and never followed up on it.
And that's new also with Lou Bucherri. They're going to have extended Saturday hours, but shame on me, I do not know. It didn't ring a bell with me what the hours are right now, darn it. But SalisburyAssociation.org, I believe, is their website.
Mm-hmm. And do what I do, make it up.
Just make it up? 10 to 1 on Saturday?
Yeah, there you go. You just make it up.
They are open. I know they're open until 1 in the afternoon weekdays, but there's something extended about Saturday's hours.
I think they're going to go to 3.
Maybe. It's something like that.
Yeah, I seem to recall I went over there on a Friday, and they were supposed to be open until 1, but for some reason they weren't open that day.
Yeah, it's probably not easy.
No.
For whatever reason.
Well,
right,
like,
it's all volunteer.
Yeah, it's all volunteer. Like Ralph was saying, it's hard to get volunteers.
Yeah, and even more difficult when you're dealing with the topic of history. You know, it's just not, in this day and age, everybody's looking for the latest new thing. They're not necessarily diving into history.
No, that's true. That is true.
But anyway, it's a great show in there. And so I encourage everybody to stop in and check it out and support them if you can.
So who judges the scarecrows?
The scarecrows are all done people's choice. So coming up on Thursday afternoon, you'll start to see scarecrows cropping up in front of all these wonderful businesses on Main Street, from the White Hart all the way south and west to Lakeville. There'll be a couple down by the factory pond.
Wow.
There are, I think, 32 was the final count.
Who came up with that idea originally, do you know?
18 years ago... That was, I don't know, I'm not sure who the individual was that came up with it. I remember being involved. It was not me. I helped spread the word, but I don't know. It might have been Noreen Breslauer when she had her little shop there, Sweet Haven.
I've got to tell you what, that's really grown into something tremendous.
It's very popular. Last year... Mary and I took it on for the first year, and I think we had 40 scarecrows, and we had over 300 ballots to count. So we're counting on at least that many this year. I know the weather is going to be sensational because we deserve it.
Yeah, just because.
Just because we want it and we're spoiled.
Yeah.
It's not on a Tuesday, is it?
No.
But if Willie Hallahan is correct and we are in a 7-day cycle, we should be good to go.
Yeah, Willie's been known to be correct.
He's right all the time. And by the way, not for nothing, his blog is dynamite. You got to check in on his blog.
All right.
Especially this last one. It made me chuckle.
All right, I'll read it, but I'm not a big blog person.
No, but blogs are short.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're very much to the point.
So then why the hell does he take so long on the air?
Wow!
Oh, boy!
I am so glad because when you throw him under the bus, that means I can roll out the other side and not be under the bus.
Yeah, but I mean, you led me right into that.
I did. did not.
You did. Your best friend. You just you made me say something like that.
Don't make me come down there.
Oh boy. Well.
Okay, so just a few more things. The Salisbury Band will be at Scoville Library on Saturday. 12 Moons Coffee House will have live music Saturday evening. That's probably 7 o'clock, not evening, night. It's sort of an open mic led by one musician. Oh, you got book sales, you got tag sales, you have the artisans. They're always a big hit. Everything from hand-carved wooden spoons to baby clothing that's hand-sewn. I mean, the artisans are amazing. You have the quilt show Friday and Saturday at the Congregational Church. You've got Greek pastries from the Orthodox Church. You've got attic treasures in St. John's. I mean, there's something for everybody, and I mean that with all I've got. There is something for everybody. If you can't find something awesome to do or to buy or to eat, it's on you, not the Fall Festival.
Yeah,
it's got everything.
In each little village there, either whether it be Lakeville or Salisbury, you can park your car and walk to all these events.
Correct.
You know, in each little area.
Yeah, there's plenty of parking to be had.
Right, and then you drive to Salisbury and you walk around some more, and like you said, great food and great shops and good things to do.
Yeah, and it's all dead level. You know, you're not climbing mountains. It's, you know, it's all within walking distance and it's all level.
All right, so no chili this year, right?
I do not think so.
Okay.
I haven't seen that on the food list, but if you go, I don't think so. I mean, I know there's not a chili contest.
Yeah.
But somebody might be like at the Congregational Church, there's a couple of, you have the women's auxiliary, you have a couple of tents worth of food there, and someone there might have chili to purchase. All those guys are trying to raise funds for their campaigns. So they'll be chili available, but there is no chili contest. It's kind of hard in Connecticut to pull off a chili contest, unfortunately.
Yeah, anymore. But, you know, you can buy the frozen stuff that's all pretty good and doctor it up a little bit.
Right, but the trouble is you can't really serve it. The Torrington Area Health Department is trying to keep everybody from killing one another via chili, I guess. And it's just, there's a lot of hoops to jump through, and it's hard to get a volunteer to head up something like that. That's the real problem.
Well,
have there been a lot of chili-related deaths in Litchfield County?
That is exactly my question, Paul. I don't understand it. I mean, I get it. You know, they're trying to keep us from killing people, but it's just death by chili. I don't know. I don't remember reading about it.
Listen, we don't need to run the Board of Health in the dirt today.
No, I mean, I'm grateful that they're there, but it's become too much.
Well, they do.
You know, look at the amazing chili contest that you guys do over at the Legion.
Oh, yeah.
That's your ladies' auxiliary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the ladies' auxiliary.
People can come from their home kitchen with their homemade chili and compete.
Yeah.
And that's how it needs to go back here in Connecticut. It's too officious, I find. But that's just my opinion, not the opinion of this radio station, I understand.
Well, it just needs to be the right temperature and this and that. When you're dealing with raw meat and stuff like that, you know, I don't know. It is what it is, so.
Yeah, there's not much we can do about it.
There's not much we can do about it at all. No ice demonstrations at all?
No, I don't know. That's a ski jump time.
Oh, that's
you're getting ahead of yourself there.
I am getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. So I won't have to worry about talking about that anymore then.
I don't know about that. Willie and I need to sit and have ice cream and.
I won't be talking about it. That's what I'm saying. I won't be talking about it.
Oh, you're going to call in and want to talk about it from sunny Florida.
No, I won't talk about it. No.
You're not going to forget about us any more than we can forget about you.
Talk about alligators when I call.
That sounds a little bit like a slam, too, that
yeah,
we can't
does.
Forget about you.
Yeah, she's kind of kind of rude today.
Yeah.
See, this is why you don't want me to call in at this hour. I'm a little spicy
right.
at this time of the day.
You really have a busy schedule today.
I do. You know why? Because we don't have
right
our football sheets. So, you know, that means that's an extra stop now this morning.
Oh, my God.
It's an extra stop.
You've
and
stop
the whole,
it to
you know,
Black
the whole
Rabbit.
System is
oh
skewed
God.
Now. So the luck is going to run out,
oh,
you know.
Oh, poor you.
Are these the football sheets for Yale?
Yeah. for you.
Something like that, Paul,
something
yeah.
Something like that, Paul, yeah.
How are they doing so far?
The other teams that play on Sunday.
This is, yeah, it's okay, Paul. We're not going into detail on this. She probably shouldn't even brought it up. But there's no such thing as those.
Oh, really?
Football pools. It's all in everybody's imagination.
Well, I thought gambling was legal now.
No.
In New Jersey.
Well, what state are we in, Paul?
State of confusion.
We're in the state of no chili contest.
That's right. All right, so Marshall's going to get a hold of you this week, and I understand that we're graced with a couple of interviews that you did this past week.
Yes, I sent three interviews in. One of them is older than the others, but I did two. I was able to do two yesterday at the amazing 10th anniversary party, the black and white party at Sharon Valley Cabin.
Oh, my God. Now, listen, he told me we had two. I'm not sure we got three.
There's three. Two are combined into one.
All right, so we've got three.
Ah, good.
I'm just checking because I don't want to have to listen to you later on or whenever I see you again.
When am I going to see you again?
I haven't seen
you in months and days.
Well, we're leaving Thursday to go down to Florida for the weekend, so I won't be around all week.
Aha. All right, well, tell Marshall he's got to reply to one of my many, many emails from yesterday so that I don't get tossed into his spam folder again.
He always answers all his emails.
No, that's not true. Well, I don't know. I'll check my spam folder, but I don't think so.
Boy, she's even running Marshall in the dirt.
Everyone.
Marshall, are you listening to this?
No, but that's why things get lost. If you don't reply to that person, your server thinks that I'm spam.
You don't answer your emails. Yeah, he's going to come and give you a little lesson. You just hang right on.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it should be quite an interesting conversation.
Just acknowledging receipt.
This is
good. For little genie here, let me sit down here.
This is going to be.
Because I'm in quite a mood anyways from my day yesterday.
Yeah, you were. Where were you? In Pennsylvania?
One way.
Well, how'd that wedding go, by the way?
Oh, the wedding was beautiful for 45 minutes and then 3.5 hours back the other way.
Wow, that's dedication.
Who the hell has a wedding at 5:30 in the evening?
Oh, that's...
So, you know, so the wedding gets over, and it's a Catholic ceremony, so it's for 45 minutes. So then the reception, the cocktail hour starts at 6:30. The dinner starts at 7:30. What
Yikes.
Am I going to... I'm going to leave there at 10 o'clock to get back here at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Wow.
So, and then they didn't want you to take pictures, right? So
what?
I said to them, well, because photographers want to sell you those pictures.
Oh, jeez.
So I said, yeah, well, let them catch me and throw me out. So I got some great pictures of the wedding.
Nice.
Nice.
And people have them free. I posted them right away on Facebook.
Now, is that Mark's son?
His daughter.
His daughter.
He was shaken.
My profession thanks you for having our back on that one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she's on her A-game
she
today.
Really
I tell you, well, that's right. But, you should be able to take your own personal pictures. The pictures that they take are for the bride and groom to buy, not for people, not us.
That's true. I've never I don't do weddings anyway, but I've never been asked to buy pictures of somebody else's wedding.
And it's just so anyways. But anyway, so that got me. But anyway, so now, what you have to learn, Jeannie, you can't send – it's lucky your emails get through. When you send audio files by email – they sometimes don't go through because of the size of them. They sometimes go to spam. They sometimes go to automatic trash. What you have to do is what I tried to do with you originally. I set up a Dropbox account for you where all you have to do is go to that Dropbox account and drop them in, and then Dropbox notifies me, hey, idiot, there's a file waiting for you. And I know
shame on Dropbox for calling you an idiot.
Well, yeah. Well, they have to.
Oh, so, I can certainly do that. I don't think I remember you.
Yeah. That's the best way to send
Dropbox,
files.
No problem.
I mean, there's Dropbox. There's a lot of file sharing programs. But when you send audio files or video files over regular email,
they really go haywire.
25% of the time they do, because they just can't handle the content. So
Dropbox, you got it.
Dropbox or any file serving agency that's free you can use, and they automatically send me an email. So that's today's lesson.
Very good.
All right, so we won't have any more issues with that, Jeannie.
No, I'm going to do a test one right now.
And you also, are you going to be there for the? There's a cornhole tournament coming up at the tavern. That's coming up, and they also have one other event that's coming up there. I forget what it is at the tavern.
I can be anywhere after next weekend.
After next weekend.
Yeah, I can't do a darn thing next weekend. I am booked solid.
Well, that's
but I'll be doing interviews where I am, but
that's good. Well, you
so, let's
so you're going to put them in a Dropbox.
Yeah, I'm going to send the resend one right now to Dropbox just as a test.
Or you can even do any file transfer program that you like that you
No, that
you
one's
like.
Fine. That's yeah. good.
Yeah, but Dropbox works good. So that's the lesson.
When is the cornhole tournament?
It's well into October. So
yeah, it's towards the end
good.
Of October,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
October is packed.
I know.
Everything
gets crazy. I mean, nothing is. There isn't a weekend that isn't packed. There really isn't. I mean, Salisbury Fall Festival next weekend, the Pine Plains Fall Festival next weekend. I mean, then those are just two of the events.
Yeah,
I mean,
just two in this area.
Yeah.
Our listening area, I bet there's a half a dozen or more.
Yeah. Now, one thing I didn't see listed, Gene, maybe you could tell me if it's there. I didn't see listed the St. John's Blueberry Pancake that they do normally when it opens up on Saturday. I didn't see that on the list.
Oh, gee.
And that'll be horrible because it's always nice. You always used to start off the Salisbury Fall Festival there, and then you end it on Sunday by going to the Salisbury Ambulance Squad Pancake
Breakfast. Right, back-to-back pancakes.
And then there's all the food and stuff in between. But
people bring your appetites.
Yeah, I always take these fall festivals for food, just like Pine Plains. I remember the year you and what's his name, Perotti, they were meant to go to the roast beef dinner. No.
It didn't work. No.
It didn't work out.
No. Kind of like going to a 5:30 wedding.
Yeah, that's right. Can you imagine 5:30? I left here to get there down there in time at 1 o'clock. I left there at 6:45, and didn't get back till a little after 10.
Nice. Wow.
So I'm aggravated today because...
Well, maybe this will stop your aggravation.
What?
Well, we're all waiting, Dave.
Hold on. It takes me a minute to get myself back together. I almost forgot that.
Hey, there's another $70. Sir. Who won for us?
Billy Instead.
He did?
No.
Hey,
it's
great.
It's Hearn, but it's I told him. I told him I said to Billy, we got to mess with Eddie.
Now
I'm going to say it's you that
you
won. You
want to know something funny? Last year on Facebook, on October 1st, they sent me a message, right? Marshall Miles, October 1st, your birthday is coming up, October 23rd. Would you like to host a fundraiser for some nonprofit? So I said, sure. So I put it down, you know, because it's my birthday month. I put it down. I put Tri-State Public Communications. Wally Chase and one other person donated to it. I think we made $30 a month, right? But Facebook doesn't take any money from that. But now I forgot. Now that I signed up that one time, I'm coming back home last night and I get a call from Jill. Jill said, what's this thing from Facebook? I said, yesterday they Facebook posted the birthday thing again for the
they
month
did.
Of October.
Yeah, I got it.
$730 was donated the first day.
Wow. Nice.
$730 the first day.
We need a GoFundMe page for Marshall.
Well, it wasn't even GoFundMe. Facebook doesn't take any
money.
They don't take any percentage. So $730. So I hope that it keeps going that good for the rest of the month. Holy smokes. I'll be able to.
Wow.
Maybe I'll be able to retire to Florida and visit Dave.
Maybe.
No, you got to have your own hotel, though.
Yeah, that's right. Nobody's staying with me.
What?
It's my story.
I thought you invited me to.
No, I did not.
And he did it in an appropriate scenario, a place where there's no hotels nearby.
Well, anyway, I read that yesterday. On the Facebook thing. Help us celebrate Marshall's birthday month.
So I guess they put it up annually. Once you register once, I guess it goes up annually. Because I wasn't going to do it again because I said $30. I mean, I could just go out in the street and pick up $30.
So what do you? So you have to go to Facebook to donate?
You have to.
Is that how that works?
Yeah. If you go to my page, because it's on my personal page, it's up there on my page. And I guess they repost it every once in a while during the month. They repost it as well.
Nice.
So
it's your birthday month.
It's your birthday month.
Well, it certainly is.
Absolutely.
I've been getting my 66th trip around the sun.
Oh, boy.
Woo!
It's all good.
Low down.
6-6. 6-6.
Wow.
One more 6 and we're in big trouble.
Yeah. Well, I hope you don't live that long. You'll be pretty decrepit by then.
I'm decrepit right now.
I didn't want to say
that. Now, Gene, you take a lot of pictures, so...
True, I do.
Here's what happened at this wedding. So there's like 300 people show up. I know 8 people. counting my brother and his wife and Israel, I know 12 people. But the 12 people that I know, this is the great thing about families. I can remember this. When you start off going to events, whether they're birthdays or funerals, you start off at the children's end, okay? Then you go to the teenager end. Then you go to the adults. You're the adults. And then you're the ones that are in the waiting room ready to go out next. Well, by looking at the pictures that we're taking of us, we're in that waiting room.
You're in the waiting room.
We're in the waiting room. There was only 12 of us, and we're in the waiting room to go out next.
Funny.
But really, when you look at it, it's really amazing.
Yeah, that's what we call life, I guess.
Well, and you're going to Florida, right?
I am.
And the nice thing about Florida is that's God's waiting room.
That's right. Oh, geez. I'm just getting closer, Paul.
It's God's waiting room.
We're all getting closer.
My uncle, whose wife forced them to move down to Florida, he said the average age is dead.
in the community where they live. That's real nice, Jeannie.
Isn't that nice?
Well, my wife's not forcing me to go to Florida.
Really? No, I didn't say she was. I think this is a mutual decision, and I think it's a good one. I'm coming around on it.
Oh, okay. You're coming around on it.
I am.
I wonder what the average age – I bet the average age of Florida resident is 60 and above.
No.
It's about the average age is actually about between 35 and 40.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Because you need people to mow those lawns.
That's exactly right. You can go to South Beach and it changes drastically. I think the further north you go in Florida, the older it gets. The further south you go, it might be older for the winter, but then the rest of the year.
And it changes. It changes according to the influx of the people coming in and going out, etc. Well, I'll leave it at that.
All right. Well, but Florida is any place is warm is what I look at it. Any place warm is fine by me.
That's right. Well, look at Sharon Road, Larry, there's quite a bit of elderly people on Sharon Road.
I was going to say there's a lot of elderly people in Millerton.
In Millerton, there is. Yeah, oh, absolutely. There's a big elderly population here. Marshall.
Well, there's a reason why the hospital there's a reason why the hospital's dropping maternity.
That's right.
Because old folks don't have kids.
Yeah, there's a lot of young people.
Can you imagine
out there
that?
Children. Old folks don't have kids.
But these small communities are experiencing a transition and turnover too, and it's.
Well, there's a cart and a horse.
That's right.
You know, why come here? Why would young people come here? If there's no maternity ward, I certainly wouldn't start a family.
It's one of those weird things that nobody can come up with an answer with, because there's facts on both sides, but the basic fact is we should have a maternity ward for the people here that need it.
Absolutely.
You need the younger people to
be here, though. I mean, they're not coming here because there's a maternity.
But there are.
They
young
are.
People. There are.
They
young
actually pe- are.
There are young people,
but not enough to.
But it's a multifunctional thing, and Gene will agree with me on this. I mean, we missed the boat 10 years ago when I was running for the school board. I said, everybody, all you people are talking about this and that and everything. You have to get together with first selectmen and the regional. Regional businesses and all, and you have to get young people to move here. You have to find a way to get housing. I'm not talking about cheap housing, even affordable housing. I mean, my daughter couldn't. She got a job in Connecticut teaching 3.5-4 years ago, where she was paid $40,000 a year, and she couldn't find a place that she could go to. So
right.
Guess what she did? She moved to Virginia Beach. Virginia Beach. She makes $30,000. She's living the lifestyle of a queen.
Yeah.
Of a queen. She's got money to spend. She's
housing
is much cheaper.
Much, much cheaper.
Taxes or
insurance.
To everything. This is what we have to do up here. I'm sorry.
Do you know what my cousin's paying auto insurance? It's practically nothing.
We take care of elderly people up here extremely well. We have so many services for elderly people. For people that we really do. There's just... Well, you know what? We need something for the younger people as well, because without that, there's not, you know, it's, this area is going to die off. So sooner or later, our governments are going to wake up and figure out some way
it's gonna
that
be
young people
late.
Can move in here.
Governments don't cooperate amongst themselves, and you're going to have to die off the young population, and you're going to have the people with lots of bucks that are just going to buy up large parcels, and that's the end of it.
Larry.
There you go.
Wow. That's it.
I'm going to go out and
slip. Who's spicy now?
I'm going to go out and slip my wrist now.
No, you're going to go. You're going to go look at your Dropbox and see if we had a successful test.
And then I've got to go to Berkshire School because the internet whiz up there where the people went in there and rewired the whole thing, and the station's not on the air up there. So I got to go up there and.
There's no rest for the weary.
All it is plugging in an Ethernet, but I know somebody just said, oh, "What's this door tour?" Well, we'll sleep here.
All right.
So, Jeannie, I'll go check.
I just sent in Dropbox the old ones from Hops in the Valley because that was handy to do.
Okay. There's still a few old people around.
So just delete them because you've already played them.
All right, Jeannie, I'll look for them now.
All right, you guys. Everybody have a fantastic rest of Sunday. Go Giants, and we'll see you all next weekend at Salisbury Fall Festival.
And don't forget, that Fall Festival kicks off on Friday, right?
Friday afternoon, yep.
Friday afternoon, and the Scarecrows, you're going to start to see those during the midweek.
You'll start to see them on Thursday afternoon, and then voting closes at 12 noon on Sunday. The two headquarters are Green Cafe in Lakeville and the Salisbury General Store and Pharmacy in Salisbury.
So that's where you get your ballot?
That's where you get your ballot, and there's a map and a list of all the crows that are entered, and may the best crow win.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. Are you golfing, and are you going to try to golf Tuesday?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's why I'm so far behind, because Kendra keeps pulling me into this golf tournament the little golf tournament that couldn't.
Yeah, I guess. It's 3 weeks now. It's been canceled, right? Three times?
This is the third rescheduling, so I think we're going to rain or shine it for sure. I'll be wearing my galosh cleats.
Because I do the hole-in-one for that, so they just got to... When the signs are up there, don't worry about the date on them. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
This is the hole-in-one.
Yeah, the hole-in-one is still good.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Sharon Fire Department.
Tuesday.
Right?
Yep.
Tuesday doesn't look... Well, I'm not saying it.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys might be wearing skis.
All right, Jeannie, thanks for the call, and we're going to go to the top of the hour, and then the milkmaid's going to call and talk to us about the Fall Festival in Pine Plains.
Busy.
Which is another huge week coming up for them.
All right, everybody have a good day.
Thanks, Jeannie.
Bye-bye.
Wow, she was on her A game today running us all in the dirt, wasn't she?
She picked the worst day in 10 days.
It's not her, it's the Sheriff Fire Department.
It's going to be nasty.
All right, we'll be right back after this short pause. We're going to play a couple of tunes to the top of the hour, and then we're going to talk to the milkmaid about the...
Go Yankees, keep beating the Red Sox.
Oh, please.
What does it matter?
Oh, please.
Go! Yay!
All you Yankee fans, you've already gotten them beating Oakland without even playing them and going to Boston.
I haven't got them beating anybody.
Oh, please.
It's always nice when they beat the Red Sox. Whether they win or not, it's always nice when they beat the Red Sox.
You know what, Pat Dineen, who's a diehard Yankee fan, you know what his take on this is?
He's right.
The law averages, if they win these three games, when they go to play them, if they get that far, it ain't going to work for them.
Well, we'll see.
It's the law averages.
Well, I don't care.
I'm on Kazi's side.
I'm into football already. Right. I want the Giants to win.
I'm on Kazi's side. By the way, that was quite comical this week with Kazi and Tiger Woods.
He just won't give it up.
He won't give it up.
You know, he lost the bet with me. I said Tiger not only would win a tournament, win a major. Yeah. He did it, and it just, I think it keeps him up at night.
I'll tell you what.
I really like to bother him with that.
And the Yankees, you bother him with both. But that was a double whammy.
I thought he was going to hang up the phone.
I did too.
I really thought he was going to hang up the phone.
Oh, well.
Well, Tiger Woods straightened himself out for now, and he came back.
That's right.
Well, I've got to tell you, I was going to email you, and I didn't get a chance to because a friend of ours have a horse that ran at Belmont.
Yeah.
I think it was on Thursday. So we got words, so we all put some stuff, money together. So I wanted you to have him preview this race. And I got word that afternoon that we bet the horse 1 and 2.
Yeah.
It came on 5th. So guess what? We lost.
The only place where you really listen to tips The Trotters. The Trotters.
The Trotters. The Fixers
Inn. The Trotters. When I used to live in, oh, I used to live at the Monticello, and I knew somebody who had Trotters. I won't mention the family
name. The Fixers Inn.
But he'd say, okay, you have to admit this. And if we did, and you walk out. Yeah. I really think the Trotters are.
It's all fun, though, because
I remember when Roosevelt used to be open, and they had the Trotter. There's an 80-year-old guy who's going to do his last race driving. What? Jesus Christ.
Uh-oh. Easy, Larry.
Oh, no. Jesus, you can say Jesus Christ.
Well, no, don't say that because then it'll be saying every other time.
He was a superstar.
Yeah.
Well, he was on, and he's driving the sulky, and everybody else is holding back, and this other guy that was down there was pretty much under the weather every day. He put $100 on this old guy to win, and it went off like 201 odds or something before. Well, as high as it goes is what, 99-1, but it went off. Ended up, he's getting $400 for each $200 he bet, and he cleaned house. the old guy comes in, everybody's holding back.
That's all right. That's good. All right. Nothing else going on. Okay.
Going to Berkshire School.
All right. Well, have fun at Berkshire School.
I will.
All right. We'll be right back after this short pause.
What's that?
I've been walking these streets so long, singing the same old song. I know every crack in these dirty sidewalks of Broadway, where hustle's the name of the game, and nice guys get washed away like the snow and the rain. There's been a rhinestone cowboy.
Robin Hood Radio is WHDD AM and FM Sharon, WBSL FM Sheffield, and WLHV FM Annandale on Hudson.
The smallest NPR station in the nation.
Head on over to the American Legion, Post 178, Route 44 East in Millerton. Their clam bake has just started, and it's going to run until 5 p.m. Got a pretty good day for it, too. It's going to be sunny to partly cloudy today, a high near 65. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low of 52, and then tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun early, then becoming cloudy later in the day, a high of 69. You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. I'm Chad Wildey.
Oh, I was waiting for
Your
Larry.
Farmer Paul. Yeah, well, you walked off last time. Yeah. Now Larry walked off. So like I told you before, we have a bunch of walk-offs on the show.
I'm back.
Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Good morning, NASCAR. How are you?
I'm good, Deb. How are you?
I'm good.
You don't sound too excited about this fall festival coming up in Pine Plains.
Oh, I am.
Okay. So what's the schedules?
This coming Friday, October 5th, at 9 o'clock, all the exhibits booths and livestock are in their assigned places. There's section judging with rabbits, poultry, etc. 11 o'clock is the livestock confirmation classes. 11:30 is the dairy show. And after that is the FFA dairy showmanship. At 12 o'clock, the inside exhibits are open to the public. The Pine Plains Garden Club has a flower show going on. At 3:30 is the weigh-in for the lawn tractor pull, and that begins right after the weigh-in. And from 5 to 7 is the roast beef dinner at the high school. It's $15 for adults, $8 for children, and 10 and under, and it's free for 5 and under. And you should make reservations by calling 518-398-7181, extension 1155.
It's imperative you do that because they typically sell out. That's a great dinner, folks, if you've never been there.
Yes, it is, and it's nice to see all the kids. They help serve. They help clean up. You know,
yeah,
they're
you
running
don't
around.
Have to,
they're
yeah,
making you, their presence known, so yeah, it's nice to see that they're very active.
Yeah, and they have their FFA jackets on or their clothes, and you don't have to really do anything. You order your food, they get it, and they pick up for you afterwards.
Yes, they do. And on Saturday from 9 to 3 is the Garden Club Flower Show. At 9 o'clock is the lineup for the parade at Seymour Smith Elementary School. The parade begins at 9:30. Also at 9:30, the tractor pull contest starts. And at 10 o'clock is the horse showmanship. And the FSA food booths are open. At 11 o'clock, all the exhibits are open to the public. And there's a championship horse pull. The host company puts on a chicken barbecue. And that one, if you don't reserve ahead of time, you don't get a dinner. So that number is 518-398-1311. You can leave a message with your name. And also at 11 o'clock is the livestock showmanship. 11:30 is dairy showmanship. And at 2 o'clock is the pet show and the cow pie raffle.
Now, how do we get cow pie raffle tickets?
I guess you would call 518-398-7181-1155.
All right. So if I wanted to stop by More and More Printing, could you get me some? I won't be in town.
I'm sure I could do that.
You could?
Yes.
Now you are going to get me a cow pie though, right? You're not just going to donate the money, are you?
No, I'll donate the money and see if you win.
Okay. That's a good show. That really is. The whole program for the FFA over there next weekend, folks, is it's worth to go and witness just because of the amount of townspeople that come in support the FFA program now.
Yes, and it's nice that the kids go to the farms to work with their calves. We have Ronniebrook Farm, Millerhurst Farm, Chatham Farm, and Cricket Hill Farm in Ankrum is doing the horses for us.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead.
No, it's nice that the kids that aren't exposed to cows, they go to these farms, they've never handled one or worked with them, and it's great to see what they can do in 3 weeks.
No, absolutely. And kudos to those farmers and folks that donate their, they don't not only donate their animals, they donate their time to help the kids. It's you guys really have it together over there with that program for sure.
Well, we try to.
All right, so what are you going to be doing?
Not really sure. I'm having knee surgery on Thursday, so my participation might be limited.
Are you having it replaced?
No, just arthroscopic surgery, something minor.
You'll be out the same day.
Yeah, you'll be good to go.
I will.
You could probably do one of the walk-a-thons next weekend if you wanted to.
Could be. I was going to go help clip calves at Millerhurst this morning, but then they told me they had help. So,
all right,
and I was looking forward to it.
Well, Can't do it all, Deb.
No, but I like helping if I can.
So just drive over there. I'm sure they'll accept you.
I'm gonna.
All right.
I still need
I like
to get
them.
Some sweet corn. So.
Yeah, they still have sweet corn. That's incredible.
Yes, and they have different squashes. There's pumpkins.
All right, so what else is new?
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, we won't be on the air next week, so you have to wait till the week after, and we'll call me, and we'll talk about how the fall festival went, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Everything else is good? Your daughter's good? The grandkids are good?
Yes.
Keeping you busy?
A little bit.
All right. Well, that's good. So I'll stop and see you before I leave on Thursday, and you can get me a couple of those pie raffle tickets, cow pie
okay.
tickets.
Okay. I will do that.
All right. I need to stop and see all you girls anyway.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I haven't been there in quite a while. So
we'll be there.
Okay. I know. I see the cars there every day when I drive by, but I'm always on a mission to do something. So, and I figure if I get in there jabbing with you guys, then it's going to be late before I get home.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sure Chris will understand.
Well, she wouldn't understand if I had to pick her up at 3 and I didn't get there till 3:30. I don't think that'd be good for me.
No.
So, I'm on a schedule.
I have a question. What is the significance of the Cal Pie event?
Is it what I think it is?
Yeah.
And they put a cow in there, and wherever she leaves some a little souvenir.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Wherever she dumps. If it lands on your ticket, you get the money.
Oh, okay.
Or, well, you get half the money, right?
I'm not sure what they do if it's...
Well, do you get any money from it, or we just donate?
No, you'll get a spot.
No. I mean,
no.
if the cow dumps on my number, what do I get?
You get the money that was raised.
Yeah.
All of it.
So you get all of it, or is it split?
It's probably split.
Yeah, it should be. Absolutely. Half goes to the FFA and half goes to the winner.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, that's a good thing.
And I know there's different places in the nation that do it a little differently. They use the dried cow pies.
And they throw
And they
it.
Fling them like Frisbees and see who can come closest to the target.
Right. Wow. So we
have the real thing.
You've got the real deal. You've got the...
And you aren't going to pick that one up.
Well, of course we do.
All right, Deb. Well, listen, I hope you have great weather, and I hope all the festivals around next weekend, because it's busy all over the place.
Yeah, there's a lot going on everywhere.
Yeah, I just hope the weather cooperates and everybody can have a success.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to seeing you this week at the office.
All right, honey. You have a good day, and I'll see you before you go in for surgery for sure.
Okay, thanks.
Have a good day.
You too.
She's phenomenal the way she reports religiously about what's going on with the FFA and Pine Plains and the Eastern New York Holstein Club.
Mm-hmm.
She really does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So we wish her well on that little bit of surgery, and that's a great weekend over there in along with Salisbury. The little parade that they do is pretty cool. And just like I said, I'll say it one more time. That roast beef dinner is to die for. The chicken barbecue is to die for. I've been to both of them over the years. And I've got to tell you, just to see the support that the FFA gets from the local area is absolutely worth your while to go over there and to witness that one time. A lot of fun had by all. So I wanted to do something different. I think what we'll do is we'll play a tune, Chad, because I want to make a phone call and make sure I got some things straight. And then we're going to come back and talk a little bit about a bunch of other things that are going on next weekend. A ton of stuff coming up that we haven't talked about. So we'll be right back after this short pause. Once again, you're listening to us Hometown Sunday Morning here on Robin Hood Radio.
Montgomery Gentry, lucky man. have days where I hate my job, this little town and the whole world too. And last Sunday when my Bengals lost, Lord, it put me in a bad mood. I have moments when I curse the rain, and then complain when the sun's too hot. I look around at what everyone has, and I forget about all I've got. But I know I'm a lucky man. God's given me a pretty fair hand. Got a house and a piece of land, a few dollars and a coffee can. My old truck's still running good, my ticker's ticking like they say it should. I got supper in the oven, a good woman's loving. One more day to be my little kid's dad. Lord knows I'm a lucky man. Got some friends who would be here fast, I could call them any time of day. Got a brother who's got my back, got a mama who I swear's a saint. Got a brand new rod and reel, got a full week off this year. Dad had a close call last spring, it's a miracle he's still here. But I know I'm a lucky man, God's given me a pretty fair hand. Got a house and a piece of land, a few dollars and a coffee can. My old truck's still running good, ticker's ticking like they say it should. I got supper in the oven, a good woman's loving. One more day to be my little kid's dad. Lord knows I'm a lucky man. Oh, my old truck's still running good, my ticker's ticking like it say it should. I got supper in the oven, a good woman's loving. And even my bad days ain't that bad. Yeah, I'm a lucky man. I'm a lucky, lucky man. Almost said I love you. Could I really be that kind of guy? I see one candle burning in your eye, then watch my heart fill up with butterflies. I almost said I need you. Girl, I shouldn't go there anymore. Act like I never been in love before. You probably think it's my first time. Is this what love is all about? Am I getting into I can't keep? Just close your eyes and hum along, and I'll sing you one more love song. But if everything is still alright, why don't you just crash here tonight? just crash here tonight. Girl, if everything is still alright, why don't you just crash here tonight?
It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
I'm NASCAR Dave. Good morning. You're live on Hometown Sunday Morning.
Hi, Dave. It's Jessica at Daisy Hill.
Jessica, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Well, we've been talking about fall festivals, and this weekend is a big weekend at Daisy Hill, I believe.
It is. That's this weekend, the Sunday, is when we have our food drive picnic.
Right. So you have, but your festival goes on all weekend, right? You've got hay rides and you've got all kinds of different things.
Yep. We've got the hay rides and the corn maze that we'll have going on. We have the mining wheel that's up and running.
Yeah. Now that mining wheel, that's pretty cool. You purchase a little bag of dust, and it goes through a water wheel, and you try to find some gold nuggets, right?
Yep, there's gemstones, and there's fossils, and you put it in the little sluicing container there, and you push it in the water
teeth.
And reveal what you had in your bag.
Just like the old mining days, though, really, and it fits right into the whole scheme of things there.
It does, yeah, it's fun. It's fun for kids and adults.
Yeah, and that's what's great about it. And the whole day is set up around kids and having fun. People picking out pumpkins. You've got corn stalks. You've got pumpkins. What else do you have?
We've got the gourds. We have winter squash. We have Indian corn, mums, some decorative cabbage and kale. We still have some vegetables here also.
Yeah, I just picked some great tomatoes and I got some of those red onions. I had them this morning with my home fries. Oh, were they sweet. They're delicious.
They are so good.
We're grateful that
we still have them.
And you've also got some animals there that kids and families can look at. That's always a big hit.
Yep. We got the chickens, and there's a couple of rabbits. We have our sheep and a goat that we can visit with. Yep.
And my favorite, the little Phoebe.
Yep, and the Phoebe.
And the Phoebe girl, yeah. All right, so now on Sunday, for years, Daisy Hill has always opened up the day for Sunday in the Country to raise some funds. So we go over in the morning. We're going to cook a few breakfast sandwiches in case you're an early bird. And then we do burgers, cheeseburgers, and dogs. And we also do French fries. So that's still going to be available for a minimal price. But it seems to just go along with the whole day. And, of course, you have soda and water and coffee available to purchase. So folks can really make it a family day. Pick up one of your, I call them the little red wagons. Walk around, pick your pumpkin out, pick out the gourd, or get some fresh vegetables, put in your wagon and go.
Right. It's going to be a fun day for everybody.
It should be. Now, that goes the entire weekend, even on Monday, correct?
Correct.
Wow. So you guys are gearing up big time.
We're getting ready. We're trying to get everything in order.
And you have your parking attendants, because it gets pretty busy over there. You got your parking attendants all lined up?
We're hoping so.
You still got your catapults this year, Jess?
Yeah, we got to do some repairs on it, but we're hoping to have it all up and running for this weekend.
Good. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Yeah, it's the whole day is the whole weekend is just fun there. It's kind of like going to buy your Christmas tree. It's kind of like going to get your pumpkin for Halloween. You get it at Daisy Hill, you know.
That's where I bought them for 25
years. Got a beautiful view. You know, the leaves are starting to change. It's going to be a fun day.
All right. So now you and your husband are the new proprietors, and you've done a tremendous job this year. Is it more than what you thought it was going to be, or is it exactly what you expected? Just a lot of work.
It's what we expected. You know, we've been doing it for so long that it's, you know, you just know what you're doing. You know, the only thing is a lot more stuff to to think about and take care of, that's all. But it's all worth it. We enjoy it.
Well, you guys do a great job, and so happy for you and your husband to be able to keep that whole tradition going. And on behalf of Billy and Colleen and Sunday in a Country Food Drive, we certainly appreciate, and we always have, all the support you've shown us over the years. I mean, you leave that little jar out there, and Billy told me just the other day that you gave him some money because people leave $1 or $2 or $5 or change or whatever it is. That all adds up to help feed people.
It was jam stuff yesterday.
Yeah, so
we enjoy doing it. We're glad to help out any way that we can.
All right, so now you're open from 9 to 5 daily, right?
Correct, yep.
All right, so this thing kicks off right at 9 o'clock next Sunday. If you want to come over and get a breakfast sandwich, or you want to have a burger or cup of coffee, or take a hayride, or do whatever, it's all available at Daisy Hill Farm.
And you'll be open right up to pre-Christmas with Christmas trees and wreaths and assorted decoratives.
Yep, we're open till right up until Halloween, but then we take a little break and we got to set up for all the Christmas stuff.
Right.
Yep, and we're usually open right before Thanksgiving with trees and wreaths and that fun stuff for holiday.
And then the little workshop begins where everybody makes the roping and the wreaths and all that.
Yep. We have our little area set up where we're there decorating the wreaths and getting everybody's orders together.
They make some really unique ornaments. Jessie was, last year she was doing these little tin boxes with, wow, they're amazing. You've got to see them. And
yep,
a real, real
decorations, yeah, with the greenery in it, yeah.
Really good price.
Thank you.
Well, you guys are doing a great job, and just keep up the good work, and we'll see you this week before we go. I won't be around this weekend, but Billy and Colleen and all the volunteers at the food drive are going to continue that tradition, and so that makes my wife, Chris, and I feel very, very happy, and it's all going to go just as planned.
Absolutely. We look forward to having a great day.
All right. You have fun, and thank you so much for the call. Once again, you're open from 9 to 5 daily.
That's right.
I'm sending 30 people that are visiting me down your way.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
All right. See you later, Jesse. Thanks.
All right. Have a good day,
thanks,
everybody.
Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Jessica from me. What a great job she just did.
She did.
She didn't want to come on. She was
here.
A little shy. She's
very
good.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, she's not like you.
Good.
She doesn't stutter and everything, Paul.
What's that?
Huh?
What's that?
She's dealing with some good and obstinate people all day long, so I know she's pretty. She can handle herself. She's a tough girl.
She absolutely is. All right, let's play a tune, and then we'll come back, talk about a couple other fundraisers coming up next weekend, and then we're going to talk about a fundraiser that Sunday in a Country Food Drive is going to do in the end of the month. And then we'll talk about last week's race. I'll tell you who won, and I'll tell you where they're racing this week and what time the race starts. And that's all I can do.
All right. Here's Billy Gilman with Oklahoma.
Suitcase packed with all his things. Car pulls up, the doorbell rings. He don't want to go. He thought he'd found his home, but with circumstances he can't change, waves goodbye as they pull away from the life he's known for the last 7 months or so. She said, "We found a man who looks like you, who cried and said he never knew about the boy." Rambler in his younger days, he knew he'd made a few She could see the questions in his eyes. Whispered, "Don't be scared, my child. I will let you know what we know about the man we found. He looks like you, who cried and said he never knew about the boy in pictures that we showed him. A rambler in his younger days. He knew he'd made a few mistakes, but he swore he would have been there had he known it. He always said that this was something that you wanted. Son, it's time to meet your dad in Oklahoma. One last turn, he held his breath till they reached the fifth house on the left. And all at once, the tears came rolling in. And as they pulled into the drive, a man was waiting there outside. Wiped the worry from his eyes, smiled and took his hand. And he said, "I'm a man who looks like you, who cried because I never knew about the boy in pictures that they showed me.
It's Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
I'm NASCAR Dave. You keep on. All you got to do is wind him right up. He's just like a clock. Cuckoo clock.
I didn't say anything. I was just talking about the weather.
All right. You're back with Hometown Sunday Morning. It's 11:32, so I just want to get going because I want to do a an obituary here at the end that I haven't done in quite a while. So last week, the Monster Energy Group was in the third race of the Chase for the Championship. They were at the Federated Auto Parts 400 at Richmond Speedway down in Richmond, Virginia, where it's cheap to live. Right, Paul?
It is. It's much cheaper than here.
It is. All right, computer. Come on. Oh, doesn't want to participate today.
Who won?
I don't know because it won't tell me. Oh, Kyle Busch came away the winner there.
What? Kyle Busch? No.
So now he's automatically in the next round along with Martin Truex Jr. and Brad Keselowski. Kevin Harvick came in second last week in the Federated Auto 400 down there. Martin Truex came in third. Chase Elliott came in fourth. And Eric Amarola, who's also a contender for the Cup, came in fifth. This week, they're in Charlotte, and I got to tell you, this is it's the Bank of America Roval, and it's a road course mixed in with the regular Charlotte Motor Speedway, and it's become an entire nightmare for drivers down there.
What do you mean,
it's never they've never done that. It's a mixture of both. Super speedway and a road course. So it's kind of tough. I can tell you that Kurt Busch is on the pole. A.J. Allmendinger is second. Alex Bowman is going to start third. And once again, my computer's a little slow. Can you imagine that?
Didn't they drop some of the people from the Chase last week?
No. After this race, four drivers are going to be dropped. Kurt Busch is on the pole. A.J. Allmendinger. Alex Bowman, who's in the Chase along with Kurt Busch. Alex Bowman's third. Chase Elliott is fourth. He's in the Chase. and I just came up to a Chevy advertisement. Isn't that good?
Huh.
I guess they want me to buy a new Chevy. I don't know. Yeah. Chase Elliott is fourth. He's in the chase. Kyle Larson is fifth, also in the chase. Jimmy Johnson, who's on the bubble, could not move on if he doesn't do a win today. He needs a win. He's in sixth. Clint Bowyer is seventh. Jamie McMurray, Clint Bowyer's in the chase. Ryan Blaney in the chase is ninth, and Chris Bouchard round out the top ten. Some of the other chase drivers include Eric Jones, 12th. Martin Truex, 13th. He's already locked in. Kyle Busch is locked in, 14th. Joey Logano. Boy, these Chevy trucks keep popping up here. I think there's something going on. Might have to get rid of the Jeep. Joey Logano in 15th. Chase driver. Here we go again, Paul.
Another Chevy you had?
I don't know. I keep hitting the wrong button, I guess. You don't think they do that on purpose, do you?
No.
Kevin Harvick is starting 19th. Eric Camarola in the chase, 20th. Austin Dillon in the chase, 24th. Brad Kozlowski, who's already locked in, so he's starting 25th. And here we go again. Denny Hamlin. I don't know what I'm clicking to keep bringing that Chevy truck up. I think it's George Murphy's fault. I really do.
You're going to buy a Chevy truck, I know.
So that's where the chase drivers are. I believe that race starts at 1 o'clock today on your NBC affiliate, but if I click the wrong button, it's going to come up to...
I just saw it here.
No, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. That's what
2 o'clock today. You can see that on NBC, yeah, because they have the big... At least NBC still has the... what they've always had is that great big fan peacock, you know, thing. So you know that it's NBC. So it will be on your NBC affiliate. Mm. All right, so now we're going to go into a couple other things that are going on next week. There's going to be a pancake breakfast at American Legion Post 178 in Millerton with their brand new automated digital sign. I guess, yes. I don't know. It's a beautiful sign. Has all kinds of information on it. You'll see it right out there. They're located right on Route 44 in Millerton, going towards Lakeville. Their breakfast runs from 7 until 11. That's the first one of the year for those guys. Very good breakfast, very successful, and a good place to go and just have a good meal and say thank you to a veteran. Also, next week, like Willie Hallahan and everybody alluded to, the Salisbury Ambulance Squad has their pancake breakfast, mm-hmm. which will be held on Sunday. Next Saturday at the Lakeville Hose Company, and I need to try to get a couple of tickets to that, even though I'm not going to be here, because we need to give one away, and I'd like to have one when I get home from Florida. The Lakeville Hose Company has their prime rib dinner special. From Saturday, its servings are from 5 until 8 p.m. right at the Hose Company there on 44 and right in the middle between Lakeville and Salisbury. And that's eat in or take out, and that's all going on next weekend.
So rain or shine.
Rain or shine. On the 13th, looking forward to the 13th of October, guess what's coming up? American Legion Post 126, their roast beef dinner.
The Sharon one?
Yep.
I thought they weren't doing dinners anymore.
They are.
They are, okay.
They do one every once in a while.
Yeah.
But their roast beef dinner, folks, is to die for. It's all you can eat. Includes mashed potatoes, normally green beans, a dessert, salad. When they say it's all you can eat, it's delicious. $12. Yeah. Runs from 4 until 7 p.m. That's on the 13th.
All you can eat roast beef dinner for $12?
Absolutely.
That's really quite good.
Well, you can't eat the first serving they give you. If you do, you eat way too much food.
Really?
Seriously, you get one to go there, you get two meals out.
Really?
Yeah, a to-go is two meals.
So, great job there. And then that's going to be followed up... On October 27th, which I'm going to be out of town then, too. I think everybody are planning these things around me being away, Paul.
Wait a minute.
I'm just starting to get a little bit of
a Sunday?
I'm getting a clue.
Is that a Sunday?
I think the 27th is a Saturday.
Saturday.
If I'm not mistaken. But I'll look it up just so that I can know, because you had to question it. It's a Saturday.
It is a Saturday, okay.
October 27th. I'm not sure what number this is, but it's going to be the annual Sunday in a Country Food Drive Chicken Cook-Off, which I believe is going to be held at American Legion Post 178 in Millerton. But I didn't ask that question, so I'm not sure. I'm not involved with the planning of this, which is okay, so I've got to get used to that. But anyway, that's always a good time. They keep the tickets affordable. And it is a fundraiser for the food drive and a major fundraiser. And in advance, I want to thank the Ankrum Fire Company and the Hillsdale Market, because I don't think, as long as we've been doing this, and I want to say it's got to be 15th annual maybe, we have never bought a piece of chicken.
Oh, they've donated.
It's always been donated.
That's very nice.
And it started with the Ankrum Fire Company, and now it's normally split between Chuck, the owner of the Hillsdale Market, and the Ankrum Fire Company. And we can't thank them enough for that.
Because there's a lot of chickens, right? 200?
Yeah, I'm not sure how many they're going to try to do, but the typical chicken barbecue you do now can do between 150 and 180. That's about typical. So that's going to be Saturday, October 27th. And when we get back from Florida, we'll have all the technical information, what the menu is going to include, what time it's going to be ready to pick up, who the teams are as they vie for one of the trophies that go along with that. And it's become quite a tradition, and I'm glad that's going to keep going. That was actually the very first fundraiser that Sunday in a Country Food Drive ever did.
Are you sure?
It is.
I thought it was the guy dancing in the turkey.
No. That came way after that. That was the very first fundraiser we've ever done, and we've done it every single year. So, with that being said, those are some of the things coming up. We're looking forward to, once again, having a great year for the food drive. We've had a lot of feedback from people that want to make sure that it's still going to continue. The support is still there, and it's we're looking forward to feeding as many people as need to be fed for the pantries that we serve. And it should be good, and I can't wait to hear how the results are this year. All right, so that being said, don't forget next week, big weekend, both at Daisy Hill. Salisbury Winter Sports has their beer fest. The Chamber of Commerce has the whole fall festival weekend in Salisbury. The Pine Plains FFA, roast beef dinner on Friday night. Chicken barbecue by the Pine Plains Fire Department on Saturday. The FFA has a food stand throughout the whole festival, parade on Saturday, cow shows, horse shows, animal judging. It's going to be a great weekend, and I'm looking at the long-range forecast.
Next weekend,
It looks very good for
cloudy and
for us to have a successful weekend here in the tri-state area. Let's hope that stays true. But if you want the latest of your weather for the next week, just stay tuned for the Breakfast Club tomorrow morning. And each and every morning this coming week between 6 and 9 a.m. As our Pat Pagano, the weatherman, comes on every single day at approximately 6:45 and talks about the weather until 7 o'clock normally. It fluctuates 5 or 6 minutes, but the weather so far right now looks Friday is sunny. Saturday is a little bit cloudy, but no rain in sight, 20% chance. Sunday is the same, 20%, and Monday, 20%. So it looks like the fall festivals and all the other things going on next weekend may have a very huge success. All right, so I got to get rid of this frog in my throat. So we're going to play another tune here on Hometown Sunday or Hometown Sunday morning, and then we'll be right back.
Every time you take a sip in this smoky atmosphere, you press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer. In the small there of your back, your jeans are playing peekaboo. Butterfly tattoo. Hey, that gives me an idea. Let's get out of this bar, drive out into the country, and find a place to park. 'Cause I'd like to see you out in the moonlight. I'd like to kiss you way back in the sticks. I'd like to walk you.
You're listening to Hometown Sunday Morning on Robin Hood Radio and RobinHoodRadio.com. I'm Chad Wildy.
Patriot Larry.
Farmer Paul.
I'm NASCAR Dave. Well, you're very serious today, Paul. Well, I'm worried about you.
Yeah, I'm worried about me, too.
You lost the picture.
Well, I don't know if I did or not. I may have just not picked it up.
Maybe we better talk about early stage dementia for you.
I'm starting to think of it, too.
Huh? All right, folks. So we're going to wind this edition of Hometown Sunday Morning down. Don't forget, coming up this afternoon at 1 p.m. at the Kildonan School, there is a memorial service to in memory of the founder of Kildonan School. And that should really be a very special occasion. It's open to the public. It's in a gymnasium there. She was a very special lady. So, should be fun. Last week, unfortunately, a longtime friend of mine who I met when I was much younger, in my early 20s, Alan Carroll from Amenia passed away. He was a truck driver for McEnroe Organic Farm in Millerton for over 24 years. He retired in 2016. He was also a longtime bartender at the Sports Circle in Minya. Was a longtime volunteer to help out the Minya Fire Company at their parades and any events that they had done over the years. Always lifted a hand to give anybody assistance when they needed it. Was a prankster. Liked to have a good time. Liked to laugh. He was born in December 22nd of 1939. He was the son of Florence Bernese Carroll of Salisbury and the late John Carroll. He graduated Weebatuck High School in Amenia. He proudly served in the United States Air Force from 1958 to 1965. He was a member of the American Legion Post 178 in Millerton. He was also a parishioner of the Immaculate Conception Church in Amenia. While stationed in Tachikawa Air Force Base. Now, that is in Japan.
That's Japan proper.
Japan proper. He married Mashiko Kojima, SMA, on December 5th, 1960, at the American Embassy in Tokyo, Japan. She survives in Laurel, Mississippi. In addition to his mother, Mr. Carroll is survived by his two daughters, Arlene Frances Carroll Chesser of Laurel and Lori Perotti of West Palm Beach, Florida. Two brothers, John and Philip Carroll of Amenia, a sister, Jean Leggett of Amenia, and three grandchildren, Nicholas Chesser and Matthew and Allison Perotti, and many nieces and nephews and several dear friends. In addition to his father, he was predeceased by four brothers, Thomas Joseph Richard William Carroll, a sister, Ursula Robertson, and his longtime companion, Judith A. Carroll. Calling hours were held Wednesday, September 26th at Huffcutt. The American Legion Post 178 conducted services at 7. Mass of Christian burial was celebrated on Thursday, September 27th at the Conception Church in Amenia. With full military honors, he was buried at the Immaculate Conception Cemetery in Amenia. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations be made to the American Legion Post 178, P.O. Box 22, Millerton, New York, 12546. A lot of great stories about Alan Carroll. A lot of great hunting stories. It was a pleasure for myself to be able to meet both his daughters and talk to them a little bit. Arlene did a tremendous job going back and forth from Laurel, Mississippi, to be with her dad, and it just it was sad that he had to leave us, but he's in a better place now because he was quite sick at the end, but very comfortable. And I'm sure the family would want me to say that what a great job Noble Horizons did with their care in his last days. So with that being said, we always...
he had to be involved right in the beginning of the Vietnam
yeah,
conflict.
Yeah, 58
and
to 65.
It was just ramping
65.
Up.
Yeah. Some great stories about... Yeah, I just can't go into it because I'd start laughing too much. But everybody always gave him a hard time about his service that he wasn't. All he did was clean the bathrooms and the airplanes and this and that. I mean, this guy is an Air Force veteran who flew in the thick of it, and it used to flip him right out. But they did it just to tease him because he would do the same thing to anybody.
Well, if you ain't got the logistics, you ain't got the flyers.
That's
believe
right.
me.
Well, he did a great job and served his country proud. 6 years.
That's a long time.
7 years. That's a long time. 58 to 65.
Yeah.
7 years.
It was youth.
Good for him. May he rest in peace. And this goes out to, in his memory, and goes out to his family.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, but he was standing there. But I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, and guide us with the light of love. When life held trouble times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend just to say I understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of the road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Oh, I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to teach us how to give, and guide us with a